The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Randy, off the internet.
No, come on, leave me alone. But Sharon, I got stuff to do. I got to see my credit rating, and I got to send an email to Nelson and check out Foley's vacation photos.
You don't have to do all that now. You can do one more thing, and then it's bedtime.
One more thing.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Whoever this person is, he has played World of Warcraft nearly every hour of every day for the past year and a half. Gentlemen, we are dealing with someone here who has absolutely no life.
Paul Perillo.
Mom, tell them. Tell them I'm not fat, I'm just big bone. Tell them all the stories about how everyone in your family was big as a child and then groomed their bodies.
Oh, sweetie, those were all lies. You're just fat.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm a pretty bad kid.
Really? What's the worst thing you've ever done?
I stole the head off a statue once.
Andy Hart.
Wow, that's pretty hardcore. That's like this one time when I didn't like a kid, so I ground his parents up into chili and fed it to him.
Eric Scalavino.
I'm not going to be confused anymore just because you say I should be. My name is Butter. I'm 8 years old, I'm blood type O, and I'm bi-curious.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
What?
Been on your computer all weekend. Shouldn't you go out and socialize with your friends?
I am socializing, Arthard. I'm logged on to an MMORPG with people from all over the world and getting XP with my party using TeamSpeak.
I'm not an Arthard.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Seems like we haven't even been off the radio for a day, and we're back on. Big weekend here at Gillette Stadium, 2012 NFL Draft. Oh, my goodness.
A lot of goings on.
Thing, people coming in and out of the stadium. There's a lot of activity here. It's good to see. We're going to talk all about that for the next 2 hours. The only place probably in the world that you can get live Patriots talk this time of year. Wouldn't you say that's true?
Yeah. I think, right. I mean, over the airwaves.
That's largely true.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, you could be going down to your local bar. And
I'm talking about
on the airwaves.
Broadcast sure, mediums.
Yeah. Right.
So we'll be here until 2, taking mediums. Your emails at webradio@patriots.com. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Later in the show, around the 1 o'clock hour, we're going to have Trevor Scott, new
Very
defensive
good.
End slash outside linebacker for the New England Patriots.
Looking forward to that.
By way of free agency and the Oakland Raiders. So I guess this guy's a workout warrior.
Not a defensive back either, Fred.
Not a defensive back.
No. Contrary to.
He's actually bigger. In his YouTube video, he didn't look 6'5", but I guess he's 6'5".
6'5", yeah.
Guy's
255.
Big guy.
He's in shape, yeah.
He's in real good shape.
Good
so Andy has a bunch of questions he wants to ask about the squats and the bench press.
Just to change real quick, do you happen to see the Amari Stoudemire thing from last night after the game? The Knicks star forward punched the glass case in one of those fire extinguishers, and he's going to be out now. Moving forward, see the New York Daily News headline?
No.
Glass hole.
Ah, very well done.
They never fail.
That's a great
They
one.
Never fail.
That's good. That's very good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good
real
stuff.
Dumb
Carry
move.
On.
A lot of dumb moves in the NBA
Rondo.
Lately, huh?
He run up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So.
That's definitely one-upping Rondo.
All right. So we've got a lot to talk about, guys. Now, I'm assuming most of our listeners followed us over the weekend, but just you want to recap your thoughts coming out of the draft and how the Patriots did. Most of the grades I've seen from the national folk, about a B.
Oh, I see more A's than B's.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had eight people that I got yesterday, and I try to get some of the higher profile. I mean, at least it was a Sports Illustrated ESPN, Mel Kiper, Sporting News, Pro Football Weekly, those types. I think there were four or five A's out of the eight. There was a B+, a B-, and I think somebody had a C. I forget who it was now.
Wasn't Pete Prisco a C-?
No. I forget. There was one C in there. But for the most part, they've been pretty positive.
Yeah. And Eric, do you guys agree? Paul, where is Andy?
He's waiting for Mike Vrabel.
He's
to
doing
call
a quick phoner with Mike Vrabel talking about Nate Ebner, who Eric is going to tell you about right now.
Yeah, I would probably give them an overall grade of probably a B. Solid okay. B. I mean, I started off with a really good A, maybe yep. even an A+.
Yep.
They went haywire on day two, yep. Which dropped them down a little bit. And I think they sort of came back a little bit on day three because they got, I hate using the word, but they got a good value pick in Alphonso Dinard. Mm-hmm. You know, his off-field troubles for the moment aside. He's right. a good player who should have been drafted on probably on day two.
Right.
And I really don't know about this Ebert kid, the wide receiver they took with their last pick, and Ebner, of course, is just a project.
Have you seen the rugby video of him?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Pretty impressive.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
game footage?
I mean, you look at him, and now you're comparing him to these other, you know, rugby seven players, so he looks really big,
mm-hmm.
you know, upper body and, you know, legs. He looks like a linebacker out there. But one thing you do see is he's not afraid to tackle. And this is without pads.
Right.
So you assume that, okay, that translates to football where once you put him in pads, he's not afraid to stick his head in there and make a tackle.
And probably with his rugby experience, he's probably a good form tackler,
yes.
I would imagine. Right?
Absolutely. You're right. Yep. So if anyone hasn't seen that, you know, I'm not sure where I saw the video, but there's YouTube video of mm-hmm. a whole highlight reel of him playing rugby. And, good speed, much faster than the other rugby players,
mm-hmm.
but I think not that fast when you compare him to a lot of other defensive backs in the NFL. But when for the rugby players, he was clearly, you know,
yep.
head and shoulders faster than the other guys out in the field.
I'm excited. I think the most, Fred, about obviously the defensive ends and Hightower, you know, Jones, Beckett. I think will contribute. And Hightower as well. I'm excited to see those guys integrated into this defense. I'm most curious about Wilson, obviously,
sure.
after what we talked about all weekend. And I'm, you know, a little bit intrigued by these other guys, the Ebners and Eberts. Yeah. And I, you know, I think Dinard actually will have a chance to compete for playing time, too.
Yeah.
You know, too soon to say whether or not he can start already, but I think he's good enough that he will compete for at least nickel slot, some sort of playing time.
I think the intriguing thing to me coming out of this draft is the front seven. What are they going to do with the front seven? Who's going to get playing time? In what formation? In what scheme? The guy we're going to have on the show today is part of that,
yeah.
Trevor Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Factor in if Andre Carter comes back, and what do you do with all these guys? You know, again, it's almost like the wide receivers. They can't all make the team. But even then, once they do finalize, how are they going to use these guys? You know, you're not going to keep Hightower on the bench. You know, let's say Spikes comes back and he's ready to go and he's healthy, and you're going to want to get Hightower in there. You know, you're going to want to get Chandler Jones in there. You know, so how do you fit all these guys in? I think that's intriguing to me, how they're going to use their front seven this year.
Well, I think that's the best part of it, Fred, is that you have, like you said, the wide receivers, and they're not all going to make the team. Well, not all these front seven guys are going to make the team, and that makes you better.
Right.
That increases your level of talent because they're going to have guys that were around the team the last couple of years that are not going to make this team. You know, specifically, I'd say a guy like Jermaine Cunningham, mm-hmm. who you've gotten
very much
really nothing out of last year at all, and minimal contributions as a rookie, although he did play a lot as a rookie. That's a guy who's going to be hard-pressed to even make the roster. If that ends up happening, if you have guys like Jake Beckett is better than him, that has increased your
sure.
level of talent on your team. Trevor Scott. These guys are, that they signed as free agents, these guys aren't locks. Most of them are on one-year deals.
Right.
They're not locks to make the team. Very few of them got any discernible money. So there's not going to be any reason that Belichick is going to say, geez, you know what? We missed on this guy, but we're going to have to bite the bullet for a year. No. If they missed on any of these guys, they're not going to be around. And I think that your point about the scheme and all that stuff, that's going to be one of the more intriguing elements of training camp. When we get out there and we see how they play on the practice field and see if they're attacking anymore, see if they're utilizing various personnel groups with guys like Trevor Scott. You know, what of Rob Ninkovich? You know, a guy who's virtually been an every down player for the last couple of seasons now. Do you put him more in a situational role?
Right.
And maybe try to lessen his workload and get more production out of him that way? You know, we mentioned Scott. You said Carter. I think it'll take Chandler Jones a little time, I think, to maybe get a, you know, into a full-time low, but I think you could see him contributing immediately
sub packages. Beckett maybe being able to get out there faster than a guy like Jones, maybe because of the way he
was using Arkansas. I think that could happen because I think he's a pass rusher, and I don't think Chandler Jones is. Chandler Jones is an all-around player. Right. He plays all aspects. I think Jake Beckett is kind of a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
Right.
I think he's going to...
A good one, though.
He's going to...
He was good at it. I mean,
I don't like him as much as you guys do, but I think he's going to play.
Well, I'm not a big Beckett
I think he has a chance. I think he has a chance to contribute right away.
Well,
because I think that he can come in on third downs and rush the passer, whereas I don't think that's Chandler Jones' strong suit.
Right.
I think that was... that's to me, that's all Beckett does.
Speaking of Jones, there's a great video up on Patriots.com about the Jones family, about all three of them, and he ends up going to his brother's UFC title fight where he became light heavyweight champion. It's a great video and good backstory of the parents and all that stuff. So check that out on Patriots.com. Mm-hmm. There's some great genes in that family. Holy mackerel. We're
talking about genes now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do we have to go to the second round pick and talk about genes? Tavon Wilson's great grandmother is 112 years old.
If you're looking for longevity, he's got the longevity genes. 112 years old with his grandmother, still running marathons. No, I don't know. I don't know if she's actually.
He was funny though. He did say, you know, and she's still very funny, and she's losing her eyesight a little bit, I think he said. But
understandable.
He said, you know, she's still pretty sharp, and you can have conversations with her. So I mean, that's just absolutely remarkable.
It is to have that
full of a life. You know, a lot of people, you get to the 60s, 70s, 80s,
right,
and you sort of start, you know, 50s, slowing down, you know, in my case, 40s.
Right.
But to see, you know, someone that old and still being able to, you know, to live a life, that's amazing.
Yep.
God bless her.
So
thank you for your service.
You know, it's a mishmash of picks. It was all defense up until the last pick where they get the wide receiver, but up until that point, it was six. A run on defense, if you will.
Yes, if you will.
Right.
All right. This is,
or if you won't.
Let me interrupt with my nonsense. This happens to me every year, Freddie. I generally, when we break up the profiles, right? Andy, Eric, and I, and usually my brother's involved, but we didn't have that many picks this year, so I usually volunteer to do the lower round guys.
Right.
Because I kind of like learning about some of the lesser known players, and it's a good way for me to learn about these guys. Well, every year I fall in love with someone. Who, you know, there's a reason they're taken in the seventh round. Jeremy Ebert is a guy that, as I'm doing more and more research on, I'm like, this guy's got a shot.
Yeah.
You know, he can really run. He's got decent size for a slot guy at 6 feet. He's not tiny.
Right.
He ran a 4.39 or something, 4.36, something really, really, really good at one of his pro days. Caught some passes at Northwestern, you know. Obviously, he's a bright kid, being from the school that he attended. You know, I mean, they don't let a lot of dummies in there. I'm not saying, I'm just giving the nod. Right. I'm saying this is a guy that might be worth looking at in potentially
Edelman-like,
potentially a practice squad guy down the road.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, or if, you know, as you mentioned off the top, Freddie, the 97 wide receivers that we signed, if, you know, 94 of them just aren't ready. Maybe he sneaks onto the roster like Eric said, Edelman style.
Yeah.
But he's certainly a better wide receiver than Julian Edelman.
Now, we have not, or have we received the undrafted rookie list yet?
Not the official list, but we've been compiling the reports that are out there.
Well, why don't we throw out what we know and
it's out there, it's information, it's not official.
Sure. Yeah. Right after the draft ended, like literally, I think less than an hour after Bill talked with us on Saturday, the reports started coming in.
Less than an hour after the draft ended, and less than an hour after Bill talked, that's about a four-hour gap.
Within hours of the draft ending, I should say, reports started coming out. There were three that night. An Iowa tight end, Brad Herman, Miami defensive lineman Marcus Forston.
Now, wait, is the Herman guy the one that hurt his pec?
No.
Okay.
That's a lineman.
That's offensive lineman Marcus Zusevic.
Okay.
I'm probably not pronouncing that correctly, but he's the injured guy that you were talking about. And then yesterday we learned via the University of Kentucky's SID department that a wide receiver, Matt Rourke, big guy, about 6'5", 220-ish, Has signed on as well. So the report's about four players.
There's one more. There's a South Florida offensive lineman.
You're right. I'm sorry.
Who I don't have the name.
You're right. Jeremiah Warren.
Thank you.
So five. We have five reports of undrafted rookies.
Speaking of Warren, reports are that Gerard Warren is coming back.
Yes.
And that goes into your theme too, Freddie, at the start. Not all of these guys can make the team.
Right.
Jonathan Finene comes in, you know, you assume that he's part of the equation. Kyle Love, Vince Wilfork, obvious.
Myron Pryor, who...
You know, Brandon Dedrick, but a guy like Ron Brace, who's been on your team the last couple of years and really hasn't done much.
Yep. What do you do?
He might have to go.
Yep. So it's a good problem. It's a good problem to have.
You should be better.
Yes.
You should be better.
And it was kind of like last summer when there were, at one point, 19 or 20 defensive linemen on the roster in camp. You're going to see that this year at defensive line, wide receiver, some pretty interesting battles for jobs.
So I'm, you know, looking at New Orleans and wondering,
God, here he goes.
I really think that this is going to be a great year. I do.
You're already predicting Super Bowl before minicamp has started.
Oh, hell yeah.
Well, and just to reiterate, some people that listen to the draft show aren't necessarily all our regulars. So, Freddie, after the stunning trades on Thursday night, two trades up by Bill Belichick, on Thursday night for the first round. So Freddie went home, you know, thought about it a little bit, and he dreamed about all the different places there were to go in New Orleans.
Right.
Because that's for sure where the Patriots will be in early February.
Not really dreaming, just had a hard time falling asleep thinking of what I was going to do down there. So,
I'm not saying,
you know, we're talking draft now, but remember, you know, Brandon Lloyd is here. And, you know, that's a new addition. I'm very excited.
Steve Gregory.
Yep.
Anthony Gonzalez.
Sure. You know, we're not done at the running back position.
Probably not.
No. Nope. So, anything else? You know, we also want to talk about something that kind of happened this morning.
Yeah.
Kind of silly. I think a little bit.
Being blown out of proportion.
Yeah, because when you really listen to John Harbaugh's words, is it John or Jim? Which one?
John.
Is it? John.
John.
John Harbaugh's words of the Ravens
stand.
He's not really saying that he thinks the Patriots cheated and now their Super Bowls are tainted.
Well, we should recap what happened.
Yeah. Right?
John Harbaugh was on the radio in the Baltimore area. I think it was their
charity thing.
I think it was their flagship station.
Right.
Right.
O.J. Brigant's, his charity for ALS, I believe.
Yep.
And I think we have the audio. Do we have the audio?
Yeah,
are we going to play it later or
we
no?
We do have the audio. I don't know if Matt has it queued up, or that's Kevin in there. If Kevin has it queued up.
But anyway, we'll probably get to it at some point.
But I think they were talking about the Saints,
The Saints Bounty Program.
Right.
Right. And the question was asked to him about, you know, I guess the stigma and of that type of thing. And he in his answer, he brought up the Patriots scandal from a few years ago.
Yeah, they talked, like you said, they were talking about the stigma of that, whether or not they did it or didn't do it or to what degree, they were talking about the stigma it leaves. And let's play that, and then we'll analyze.
It's only about – it's less than 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Right?
Let me ask you something. And now, there's been a lot, obviously, and I don't want to put you on the spot here, but with the Saints situation and cheating and playing dirty and thing, I mean, you and your brother and your dad are old school – football guys. Hit hard, hit right, make the other team let them know you're on the field and they got to work to get through you.
Right.
So, and I'm all for that in any sport. You play as hard as you can by the rules.
And the best team wins.
But isn't there a part of you, though, that says, you know, if a guy can get away with it, like, you look for the edge any way you can get it, right?
You know, the funny thing about that is that in the end, everything is brought before the light of day when it's all said and done.
The truth always rises.
It does, you know. Yeah. And so what happens is even the thing in New England and the thing in, no matter whether those things had any impact on whether they won their championships or not, they got asterisks now.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
It's been stained, you know. So to me, it's never worth it. I mean, you got to figure out ways to use the rules to your advantage. You got to figure out ways to make the most of everything. We've got new work rules here as far as what we can do and what we can't do with our players.
Right.
And we're going to make the most of it. And what we're finding is, man, we can do some things even better than we did before because these rules make us focus more on some things that we didn't focus on before, you know. And you just got to make them work for you. That's what success is in the world, man. You got to find a way to do things better than somebody else. But if you're cheating, in the end, you're going to get discredited.
Yeah.
You know,
have you ever,
it's not worth it.
Have you ever been on the sidelines, Coach Harbaugh, and been, I think they're cheating. How did they know I was going to run that play?
Yeah, I have. But if I say when, then it's going to be like Pro Football Talk. It's going to blow up and go crazy, and I'm going to get accused of accusing somebody
right,
or something.
Right. We all know the Steelers are dirty.
Coach.
This too late for worrying about Pro Football Talk.
Yeah. Not just Pro Football Talk. This is everywhere. It's blown up pretty quickly. You know, I went to NFL.com for something I was doing.
Andy's
and this
here.
Is a main story on the side here about Harbaugh bringing back up kind of Spygate and the Patriots, and which, by the way, I'm a little bit on that guy's side now about it becoming kind of TMZ-ish on, because on the other side of the screen was what's his name, the new Dolphins quarterback's
right.
wife, and a picture of the others, hot significant others from the, and I'm like, okay, maybe that crossed
right.
the line. That has nothing to do with football at any level.
But if you listen to Harbaugh, he used the Patriots as sort of. Even that, even if it didn't have anything to do with
even
it,
even the Patriots.
Now it's
thing.
Out there.
Yeah,
you know, now it's like the guy we were talking to Paul. It's like the guy that gets accused of pedophilia, who's absolutely 100% innocent, but you get accused of it. The headline comes out there, and you're screwed, you know, because now you're associated with that word, you know. And I think that
yeah,
was his point. I don't think his point was I think the Patriots are cheating and.
I don't
know,
think he was.
Which
right.
is
definitely
the,
wasn't. His
which
point.
Is the way that it's kind of being taken.
But the issue is,
yeah,
if you're buddy buddy with Bill Belichick, this why is, do you bring it up?
This is the part I
right.
agree with Andy.
I think he probably wishes he hadn't.
Right, which is why it was
yeah.
taken down off the website.
Yeah, and it wasn't.
On
by the
Baltimore.
Way, it wasn't taken down off the radio's website. By the way,
oh,
and I wanted because I knew that Andy and I we clicked on a link that Mike Reese had put up from
it said
ESPN, and it said it had been removed. It's on, I think it's 98 Rock or something like that. 98 something Rock in Baltimore is something. I think that's the name of the.
Clearly,
you can
Raven
find
Station.
Out pretty easily. On that
yeah,
official.
It's all purple.
Yeah, on that official website, it's still there. And
oh,
it was
okay.
still there as of a half hour ago when I was down in Kraft Sports Productions. They showed it to me.
And
because they thought that was.
So Mike just had a bad link?
It was either a bad link or they want it down and some intern said, oh, I'll take it down from here and didn't take it down everywhere. Or wherever.
And,
but my guess it was a bad link.
And kind of the point is, in something that Patriots fans are going to have to just resolve themselves with is, it is attached to the Patriots forever.
It's also...
And there's nothing you can do about that. You just got to live with it.
It's also the biggest, most recent, before the Saints scandal, it was the biggest and most recent scandal in the NFL. So
and
it's,
you'll always
it's top of mind for a lot of people
in
still.
In 3 to 5 years, there'll be another scandal, and because of that, they'll talk about the Saints and the Patriots. And then 3 years after
right,
that,
correct.
They'll talk
it'll
about those three.
Exactly.
It'll always be in that top 10 or 5 NFL scandals.
Right.
Yeah, I'm with Andy on the friend part. That's the part to me that really is worth looking at here. And these guys were really good friends. Bill, as we all know, and as all the Bill files have breathlessly made sure they reminded us of, Bill recommended Harbaugh to Steve Bisciotti for this job in the first place. You know, and that's there's no question. How recent was that lacrosse photo, Andy, that you had found?
April 14th, the middle
so,
of last month.
So you're talking 2 weeks ago.
They were on the sidelines.
They were on the sidelines together, all buddy-buddy.
Maryland,
down in Maryland.
Yeah, so it's yeah. not like
right
they're
next
not,
to each other, chatting,
so,
laughing.
So it's not even like you could say they're not as close
yeah.
as they once were.
I might
you know,
be
like
able to say that today, though.
You know, like the whole Belichick and Parcells thing that seems to, you know, kind of ride peaks and valleys, their relationship. They were 2 weeks ago chum, you know, best buddies.
Yeah, what about right now?
Right now, not so sure.
I think Harper was just using these. Even the Patriots thing, whether or not you think it had anything to do with it, becomes something that is, you know, and
you
that's all he was
it,
saying.
But he brought it up.
But he brought
unsolicited,
it up.
Unsolicited, he brought yeah. up Patriots
that's,
and
that's
cheating.
The odd part, and that's why it's – but, I mean, Pro Football Weekly is saying that Harbaugh said that it discredited all of their titles.
No.
And that's not
no,
what he said.
That's not what
no.
he said.
Pro Football Weekly, I mean, Pro Football Talk is doing exactly what the people who complain about Pro Football Talk do.
That said, I thought the last part when he brought up Pro Football Talk was interesting. If I tell you when and where, well, you're well, making me think that it's either the Saints or the Patriots because
oh, it's
those
gotta,
are the two people
oh, it's
that
gotta,
already
it's
are
be
like
Pittsburgh.
Lightning rods of
well, oh,
Pittsburgh.
You know how they joked about
Pittsburgh.
It's
they joked about
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh right there at the end. So
yeah.
For them, they don't even care. They just hate Pittsburgh.
I know. I don't think that would be as big a deal.
But
think the
like,
big
you know,
deal is the people that, like you said, already have criminal associated with their name. That would make a big scandal because you're adding on to it.
Like, this is interesting here with, you know, like the all the tweets are coming in. And listen, the Patriots Nation is very tight and they're very defensive, and that's a good thing. I mean, I think that's part of being a good fan is that you rally to your defense. You know, when someone tweets into Tom Curran, who works with CSNNE, and they said, you know, the skirt was a memo in 2006 and has nothing to do with Super Bowls. And Tom answers him by saying, that's his point. Details don't matter. That's exactly what John Harbaugh's point is. It doesn't matter that it didn't have anything to do with the Super Bowls. It's out there, and that's what he's saying. If you do something, whether or not it had anything to do with your actual success is completely and totally irrelevant.
Stigma.
And John Harbaugh did not say it had anything to do with their success.
No,
but that's how you know what's funny is Harbaugh is going to be the victim of exactly what he is saying, why he wouldn't do those rules things. Now he's going to be it doesn't matter that he didn't say it didn't discredit it. That's what he's attached as saying now.
Right. Right.
And listen, Andy's right. They're friends. He should have known better.
Yep. Matt from Quincy says, guys, I don't even think that was the most interesting thing on Pro Football Talk this morning. Just below that was the headline that Jabard Gaffney was released.
Yeah, geez,
I have to
really
think there should be some mutual interest in bringing him back. I don't know. How many guys can you bring in? You know.
Bring in another. Why not?
Yeah, I guess. As long as you have room, right?
Let them all battle it out.
Well, you could bring 111 guys into camp now.
If you bring him in, though, I think you'd want to let go of somebody because it is kind of getting a little too crowded at that spot. Yeah. He did have probably his best year of his career last year. Yeah. At least you look statistically, he was about 25 yards short of 1,000 yards. He averaged about 13 or more yards per catch.
Statistically,
he had 5 touchdowns.
It was his best year.
He had a great year last year, and he's in, you know, what is it, 10 years now he's been in the league?
Well, let's quickly go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Eldridge is in sunny North Carolina, rubbing it in because it's pouring here at Gillette. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas. I'm joining us 80 degrees
Tampa. Ah. Hate you.
Everybody wearing shorts and girls in tank tops and booty shorts. You know what that looks like, right?
All right. Sun's out, guns out.
Yeah, but the draft, I'm like, Fred, I'm crying, Fred. I'm crying. Thursday, I loved the draft. The first round, loved it. Glad we moved up. But to sit there and watch the Jets get Stephen Hill and then Reuben Randall sit there and then the Giants get, I wonder if Bill want the Jets and the Giants to go to the Super Bowl. That's what I want.
don't
New York at heart.
Don't cry over Stephen Hill, my friend. He's not going to be anything.
Or he'll be great.
Reuben Randall I feel bad about, but don't worry about Stephen Hill.
He's gonna... See, that's what you keep saying. Now, remember now, I'm in North Carolina.
Stop. That's not what I'm saying. I like Stephen Hill.
Yeah.
Me too. That's just Eric who's wrong.
Y'all seeing the highlights that NFL channel showing. See the one the sports channel showing. That's another Megatron and Randy Moss. Double coverage, one hand. Yes, and he ran outs and flies, but that's that. But as far as everything else, you know, get rid of Branch, get rid of Ocho, and I don't know if Rush is going to come back, whatever, because I think he want a four-year deal.
Who's that?
Probably.
Welker?
Yeah, I think he would.
Yeah, Welker.
Yeah.
And I don't think they want to give him that. You know, so I think he might just sit out the whole season.
No chance. No way. That's too much money, Eldridge.
That's half his career earnings he'd be giving up.
But do you really think Bill going to give him a four-year?
No, but maybe. First of all, I don't think 4 years, $32 million is off the table, or 4 years, $35 million is off the table. More likely would probably be a Moss-like 3 years, $27 million, but there could be some in between. They could negotiate. Maybe they'll give him a bigger deal this year. I mean, I don't know what their cap situation is. Maybe they'll give him a 1 year, $12 million deal this year and say, we won't franchise you next year. Maybe that, I mean, it's a negotiation. There could be some give and take there.
Eric, did you get my email?
Did I get your?
Saturday. I think it was Saturday. I got on PFW online.
I don't think I did, no.
Well, I still say, we ain't had number one receiver since Terry Glenn and Randy Moss. And it's about time we have one. Can't keep winning with tight ends.
Okay. Well, what do you want me to do about it?
We don't think that. Okay. Well, y'all guys have a good day.
All right.
For the draft, I like everything except for that wide receiver that took in the seventh round. And I think Moore is a better safety than that Wilson guy.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the call, Eldridge. Eldridge always wants that number one receiver.
How many Super Bowl rings do Moss and Glenn have combined?
Right.
I think it's zero.
That would be zero.
Certainly zero in New England.
So, I mean, yeah. That's the same as Rob Gronkowski, zero.
Let's go to Phoenix where Alberto is calling in. Hey, Alberto.
Hey, what's up, man?
How you doing?
Doing good, doing good. I'm actually like really glad about the draft. You know, I love the Chandler Jones pick and the Dante Hightower. I was like real excited we actually moved up for once, and then that guy owes you guys lunch for like a month.
That's what I'm excited about.
You can pick up the other month if you want.
No, I'm all right.
He sounds young
kidding.
And poor.
Good answer.
It's a slow month, you know.
I hear you, bro.
I didn't exactly like love the Tavon Wilson pick, mostly because like when he got picked, I immediately went to, you know, YouTube to look up some highlights and couldn't find a single one. So I was kind of wondering where he was, you know, and then I see Brandon Taylor on the board and then the Chargers take him and I was like, what the, you know.
Yeah, Wilson has an uphill battle to win the love and adoration of fans in New England. Fred loves him already, thinks he was screwed over because he wasn't invited to the combine.
Well, I think one of his problems might be is his versatility. You know, is he a cornerback? Is he a safety? So when they were thinking about who to invite to the combine, he didn't show up on either of the lists.
Well, I do feel bad for him.
All shaking his head.
At the point that you just made, Andy, about that he has, you know, an uphill battle to win over fans. I feel bad for him in that regard because he's not the one who drafted himself.
Nope.
He. It's not like he brought this on himself. So
that's
it's a, you know, it's a little unfair to the kid. I want to give him a chance. I lambasted the team for making the pick, but I want the kid to do well. I want him to succeed. I hope I'm wrong about it, that it was a bad pick, but you look at all the other names and all the other talent that was on the board at the time. It's really hard to justify unless he ends up becoming Rodney Harrison or somebody
Bill
like
took
that.
Him, you know, because he liked him. Yeah. He wouldn't take him, you know, for any just because, you know.
But if he came, if he became James Sanders and stayed with the team, they need that too. They need a stable go-to guy, you know that they can count on in
that'd
different
be solid.
Situations. Yeah,
that'd be solid.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I also have like one more point before I go. Is it true that Marshawn Lynch is still a free agent?
No, that's
no,
not true.
Not? No, I don't know. Somebody told me that, and I was like, no way, man.
No, I don't think he ever was a free agent, but I might be mistaken on that. I thought he's still on Seattle, but
oh no, yeah,
we could look that
up. We should just definitely get him signed if so. But I love the show. I love what you guys do. You know, you guys who does your music, by the way. Actually, you got great taste.
Well, Kevin Collins does the music before the show. Yep. So
yeah, that's good stuff. No, you guys do a great job out there. You guys, you know, keep on keeping on.
Well, thank you, Alberto. All right. That's Alberto in Phoenix. We're going to take a quick break. Remember, later in the show, Trevor Scott will be joining us, defensive end, free agent signing.
By the way, I cut that keep on keeping on thing, too. That was I see what you did there.
Oh, is that Pro Football Talk? No?
Yeah, I have no idea what it is.
Oh.
But I was just thinking maybe we can get Trevor Scott in a push-up contest.
Oh, maybe.
It's from old school, Will Ferrell.
Oh. Anyway, all right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day. With plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
What would make your business better?
Start with Better Banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a business checking account, Better Banking is a package of business solutions with preferred rates and better resources, along with customizable options designed to fit your business perfectly. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. Let us show you how dedicated we can be to your business. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place, shop, dine, enjoy.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
From the photos Andy was telling me about.
No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
Couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sterger photos available, see why Favre was after her online. I'd be dialing it up
tonight.
Matter of fact,
I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you would want to see
just
that.
Watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. We'll be here until 2 o'clock, taking your emails at webradio@patriots.com and your phone calls on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. I figure we should just jump into some emails because a lot of people have things they want to say about the draft.
A lot of emails.
After all, we are email-driven.
Except when you ignore them.
Tom writes in. He's at the George Washington Law School. He says, as always, love the show, especially the weekend's draft editions. Unfortunately, you've put me in the awkward position of having to agree with Eric.
Ooh, that is
awkward. I hate
to
say it, Fred, but Eric is right, and you're dead wrong in your assessment of the Tavon Wilson pick. Putting aside whether or not he will contribute, Eric is correct in saying that your justification for the pick are reasons why he should have been signed, not reasons why he should have been drafted. You draft a player high because you value his skill set and want to make sure that you can secure their rights before other teams. Thus, the decision should be a combination of both your evaluation of the player and your analysis of the league's opinion of the player. That's how you get good value. If you're looking to homer up and justify this pick after the fact, you should argue that he likely would not have been available later and that Belichick has a great sense of the board. I disagree with you on that argument, but that's the only argument to make. It's not a question of talent. It's a question of demand for his services. Other than that, love the draft and your analysis. Keep up the great work. Well, I mean, that's that he's right.
Right.
I mean, But they must have thought that someone else or other teams were interested in him, and that's why they took him so quickly.
Correct.
You would hope.
I can't imagine, though, that the other 31 teams were clamoring to get this guy.
No, but you don't need
– you only need one.
Yeah. All you need is one
team. San Diego, the next pick. If they want him, they get him.
And somebody around them. And you know what? We do this a lot, and I'm guilty of it as much as anybody. But you don't know what the other teams were really going to do.
No.
Especially as you get beyond
– Nor does Phil.
No, exactly. But I think they might have a better idea of how a player is rated, not just by themselves, but – in general, right. And what they see. For example, I don't know if you guys saw any of this, but like Peter King did a pretty good draft recap in Monday Morning Quarterback yesterday, and one of the things he talked about was Seattle. Seattle's been getting eviscerated for overdrafting Bruce Irvin, taking Russell Wilson later on. Well, Peter King said he had at least two general managers saying that Irvin was going in the first round. That's a lock. There's no question about it. Now, a lot of us, Andy and I think, fall into the camp of we thought he'd be a solid second-round pick. So, clearly, he wasn't a second-round pick, according to the NFL GMs. So, what we think going in isn't necessarily what is. And I think the further along you get in the draft, the more of a gap there is between what you know and what the NFL GMs think.
Right, and as we talked about, you know, taking Tavon Wilson in the second round isn't an example of New England arrogance. We know more than everybody else. In fact, it's the exact opposite. It's we think everybody else sees the same thing we do in the guy, so we better take him now. It still could be a swing and a miss and a real bad pick. I'm not saying that. But obviously they must have thought other teams like this guy, too. We're not any smarter than anybody else.
Maybe. But I just it could be a really bad pick. Because if he stinks, it's bad twice. It was bad value in people's minds and just a bad pick.
Yep.
But the other issue, what did you just say?
I don't know.
Well, part of it, I see that. I see your point,
I had
Fred,
a point
about.
Too.
I see your
now
point
you're
about.
Like me. You
about
just forget what really you were saying did. In midstream.
I did.
But what you said about, you know, thinking that other teams are just as smart, that could be partially true. But I also think there's a thinking that. We rank our board with our players the way we see it. If nobody else thinks that this guy's great, the hell with them. We're still taking him.
No, but
he can't possibly do that.
No, but Tom,
because that flies in the face of every value principle he's ever.
That gets back to Tom's email, where
of course,
if you really think that you have the skinny on this guy and other teams don't, then you act smart and you don't take him in the second
round. I agree. But there could be an element
that
could. I mean, you're giving him the benefit of the doubt that he doesn't think that he's smarter than all the other people.
Well,
the other argument is that he does think that, and that's playing into his thinking.
Where,
that he'll take a guy no matter what anybody
else
thinks
of him.
Where
that comes into play is when you take a guy like
Ebner,
the rugby player.
Yeah.
That's where, you know, we did a little bit more homework, and we think we can do something with this guy that no one has seen yet. He hasn't done it yet, obviously. And we're gonna get it out of him because of his sheer athleticism. That's where I think, you act smarter than other people. But not with a Wilson guy. I mean, there's plenty of tape on this guy.
Well, the
kind of makes it worse. There's so much tape, and no one wanted him at a combine or a bowl game.
The Jets signed a rugby player, a 27-year-old rookie.
Yeah,
tight end.
I'd rather have a young rugby player.
27's not really ancient.
It's 5 years older.
Yeah. I'd rather have football players. That's just me.
Yeah, unless he's a quarterback, then Paul doesn't want him if he's over the age of 22.
No.
Reeling him in and set the hook.
Because there's a 7-year gap between what I don't want and what you just claimed.
I remember what I was going to say. I also don't think a lot of teams could have drafted him. Because I do believe a lot of teams take into account the reaction they're going to get, especially if you had a couple bad drafts. I think people listen to the outside.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick doesn't have to. His rings, his track record, everything. He could draft anybody, and he's not going to get fired because of it or have an issue with the owner. But I don't know that all teams could take a guy who wasn't at any bowl games, wasn't at a combine, wasn't expected to go before the sixth round in the second round. I don't think they'd do it. Because if you miss, it's an extra bad miss. If you take, Bruce Irvin, a consensus second-round pick, if you take him in the second round and he stinks, everybody else thought he was a second-round pick, too. I missed.
No, you're right.
If you take a seventh-rounder in the second and you're Gene Smith in Jacksonville, you're out. You're out of a job.
This is a big test of the Patriots scouting.
But not as big a test as it is for somebody without the cachet.
No, but
Bill's not getting fired if Tavon Wilson sucks.
But regardless, no, he's not going to be in trouble if Tavon Wilson doesn't make the
team. Have a calzone
team.
On his chin.
But it is you know, a good test to see. This is one where we're going to be watching to see how accurate they were and what they thought this guy could do, which, again, is versatility. That's what they're talking about with this guy, versatility.
Well, that was the theme of this draft. I get back to that. Yeah. Every one of these guys is versatile, every single one of them.
Yep.
I mean, one plays multiple sports. They all play multiple positions.
Yep.
But we'll see if that actually pans out. We've criticized Bill for looking for too much versatility and not enough. He
right.
can do one thing.
Right.
You know, Bruce Irvin. Bruce Irvin's not versatile. He can do one thing, run fast around a corner and get to the quarterback. But Pete Carroll thinks he does that well enough to be a first-round pick, and apparently yep. two or three other GMs did. Bill looks for the opposite. He wants the guy that can play five positions.
Yep.
I like Andy's point about the security, though, of Belichick. That's a big factor.
Sure.
You know, most teams in the second round, they have to make sure that they do the best they can to get a guy that they think is going to be able to contribute right away.
Yep.
And, you know,
that guy in Indy's not taken.
Tavon Wilson might be able to contribute right away, but there's certainly a lot of question about that based on his spot in combines in the All-Star games that Andy talked about, which I think is a good point. Almost all of those seniors get invited to one of those
teams. To something. Somewhere.
So the fact that he didn't certainly says that there's at least a difference of opinion out there as to how good this guy is.
And I said this is a double bad pick if he stinks. I'm going to add one more. It's a triple bad pick. Because A, he wasn't supposed to go that high. B, he wasn't that good. He didn't go to the combine. And C, if you can't play safety on this team where they bring guys in off the street and make wide receiver safeties, I mean, there's certainly many openings for him to play right away.
Well, you got Stephen
Gregory now. Oh, great. Stephen Gregory. There's plenty of room for him to play right away. So if he swings and misses, that's a bad, bad miss.
Russ writes in, the Dante Hightower pick is concerning for a few reasons. Do you remember the second round of the 2010 draft when we picked Jermaine Cunningham, and a lot of people were mildly surprised that we didn't take Carlos Dunlap? It was a similar scenario to this year with Alabama,
really.
Where the 2009 Florida Gators were pretty decent defense that had a number of good athletes, and people wondered who the star was that made all the other players around them better. Is this year similar? Case of Bill overthinking himself and selecting Dante Hightower over Courtney Upshaw. As you probably remember, Carlos Dunlap was selected one pick after Cunningham by the Bengals and has collected 14 sacks over the past two seasons. Put the tape on of the Alabama-LSU National Championship, and all you see is Upshaw looking fast, hungry, and relentless, while Hightower looks like a read-and-react inside linebacker. I hear the argument for three quality middle linebackers given injury prevalence, but his immediate impact will probably be underwhelming at the start of the season, I think, due to everyone's initial health.
Not anywhere near the same.
No, it's a different comparison completely because Cunningham and what was his name?
Dunlap
played the same position. Upshaw and Hightower played different positions. And Upshaw, Dunlap was clearly a better player than Cunningham. At that same position. Production-wise in the NFL, he's been a better player than Cunningham.
Well, yeah, but...
Has been.
You're a better player than Cunningham in the NFL.
That's my point.
Hightower and Upshaw were projected as first-round picks. Dunlap was on the radar as a 1-2. Jermaine Cunningham was not on the radar. He was Tavon Wilson-esque in that he was a lower draftable player that Bill decided I like better than Dunlap. Both these guys were projected, Hightower and Upshaw, to go in the first round.
Yeah.
They were a part of that whole mix of Alabama
and again,
where everybody could go in the first.
At different positions.
Well, yeah, there's some overlap.
There's some overlap, but...
I mean, initially, a lot of people were listing Hightower as a defensive end because he plays sub-rusher. So there's definitely overlap in the versatility of the two positions. It's not a direct one-to-one like Dunlap and Cunningham, who were just bookends of their defensive line. The bigger issue is nobody thought Cunningham was a high draft pick. Everybody thought both these guys were high draft pick. He just picked the one he liked better.
Right. And so far, everyone is being proven right in Cunningham's case.
Right. Including Urban Meyer, who told Bill,
exactly.
Sure, you don't want to look at these other guys
that
are good?
Like Dunlap?
Turn your mic on?
Sorry about
that. I just pulled a Fred. I would also add that...
See, why does he have to bring... He's like Jim Harbaugh. Why do you have to bring my name?
Exactly.
That, right?
Bad
yeah.
guy.
Right, right.
Even when you don't put the microphone on... Now I just pulled an Andy. I have no idea what I was going to say.
All right. Okay, let's read some emails.
I remember. The one part of the email that I thought stood out to me was he said, you know, the immediate impact for Hightower. Well, I don't really I'm not overly concerned with the immediate impact as much as I am with the fact that they picked a good player or not. And if he comes in and he doesn't set the world on fire in September, that's okay, as long as he's a good player. You know, Jermaine Cunningham, it's been 2 years, and we haven't really seen him set the world on fire. And the last year, we didn't see him play at all.
Haven't seen him set the field afoot.
So, you know, if that if that happens to Dante Hightower, you know, if that happens to Hightower, where for 2 years he's, you know, I'll be looking at that pick similarly to the way I look at Cunningham, but I don't think that's going to happen. And I do think his ability to play inside with Mayo and Spikes, as well as be a sub rusher on the outside and maybe fill in, will allow him opportunities to succeed. Now, listen, if you miss on your evaluation, he's not that good a player, you missed.
And somebody else would have taken Hightower. Most likely in the first
round. Somebody else would have taken Cunningham at some point.
At some point, but I'm talking about
maybe in the second. I don't know.
Eh, chances are a lot less likely.
Least he was a big school guy.
Yeah, we're not the only guys that liked Cunningham. We're not the only team that liked him. I think we liked him more than other teams for sure. But
The other issue is Dunlap had off-field issues that weighed his value down.
Absolutely.
As far as I know, these two don't have issues that would somehow weigh the other lower than, although Upshaw dropped a little from what people expected, so maybe he does.
Yeah, I liked Upshaw and I liked Hightower. I would have been happy with either one of them. I liked Hightower better because I thought there was more things that he did. I wasn't enamored with Upshaw as that edge guy. I mean, I don't know how you guys felt about it.
I didn't love
when
either
you watched.
I think they're both versatile, but they get back to my, well, what does he do?
You might be right. But as I said throughout the process, I take my shot with one of these Alabama kids, and I'm glad we got one.
Beats taking your shot with a Illinois kid. Fred, this gets me to my point, though, in terms of, you know, Paul doesn't care whether he's an impact September player as long as he's a good player. I think there's a chance Jake Beckett plays before Chandler Jones.
Well, Paul said the same thing.
I think he's pro-ready. I think the headiness on the defense, he has a position. He's a pass-rushing, end-of-the-line-of-scrimmage guy, whereas Jones, are you going to develop him into a bigger-bodied, you know, hand in the dirt guy? You want him to be athletic, versatile, outside. Right. Is he McGinnis? Is he Vrabel? Is he Colvin? I think Beckett is flat out go on the field, rush the passer, and it's going to look bad for Jones if Beckett has, you know, 6 or 8 sacks as a rookie and Jones is.
And Andy brought that up yesterday when we talked about it off air, and I would just add to that even as I said earlier before he came down, I think that Beckett can rush the passer. I don't think that's the only thing Chandler Jones can do. I'm not sure that's the strength of his game. Now, he may develop into a great pass rusher in the NFL, but I don't think what I saw on tape of him at Syracuse said, wow, this guy can really get after the passer. Jake Beckett, that's what he did. That's what he does at Arkansas. That's why I think Andy's right. I think he might get more chances early, whereas
if Jake Beckett's better in year 5, it was a terrible pick.
Oh, absolutely.
Just because he's better in year 1 doesn't mean it was a terrible pick.
Absolutely.
I mean, Juan Pierre-Paul, Don Banks wanted to get him out. Remember that remock draft and got to have McCourty instead of Pierre-Paul, who's been slow to develop. That's
a great point.
Well, in year 2, he was a defensive player.
And that's why I'm not overly concerned with the immediate impact. As long as you can see signs that this guy can play and he needs some reps,
I kind of agree with you. Trouble is, this defense sucks and it needs immediate impact.
Well, if they're not playing, then that's different to me than
they need people to play well. Well, you can't count on Brady in the offense of scoring 35 points every week again so you can win 13 games and Brady can throw for 5,000 yards. I'd like to get a play from the defense occasionally.
Yeah, and I know we got into this over the weekend and it's a hard thing to do. Hard to quantify playing well. You know,
when you see it.
Right, and I think that you'll see that from the three guys that they got, especially to me, the 2 first-round picks. I think you'll see them playing well.
Who's the third guy?
Beckett.
William Berry, Paul's favorite emailer, writes in.
Well, I'm talking about the front seven.
Front seven.
William Berry says, guys, I want to help the show. Where do I send Fritos? Explanation, Fred was mad at Eric for not talking as he ate a bottomless clown car of Fritos. Instead, I'm offering to help keep Eric quiet. Mm. Okay.
I thought people liked Eric now that he's talking and being angry and yelling.
Apparently not William Berry. I also heard Alfonso Denard has a minor anger management problem. Will Paul help him with that?
Sure. I'm very good at that.
He made one mistake.
Yeah.
That we know of.
You gonna label him? Does he have to wear the Scarlet A? I assaulted a police officer.
Well, I think people are also thinking back to the Alshon Jeffrey fight, which shows an on-field temperament that
we're
might
start
need
counting
to be.
Those. Then Brandon Spikes has got some issues. Yeah. I mean, other guys have had on-field altercations.
True. I know.
All I can tell you is if my brother wasn't there, I'd still be on him, pounding the kid. Okay, he's a sport.
I could help with him.
I by no means am defending Denard, by the way, because I think if you hit a cop and it's an accident, then you don't need four other cops to take you down or whatever. So there was an incident there that is not easily defended, but I also don't think you get labeled because of one incident in your life.
Right. James in Brisbane, hey, guys, great job on the draft coverage. Got me through a boring, rainy weekend that I was meant to be doing uni work. I don't know what uni work is.
University.
Oh. So I know
he's
the...
so pompous.
University, you moron.
He's got that Alex Trebek tone, like, I know the answer,
well,
you idiot.
His whole life should just be .edu. Eric Scalavino, .edu.
Maybe
I'll do that.
.org. And, so I...
that was good.
So I know the Patriots will line up in a variety of sets and not have a single base 4-3-3-4. But what do you think about this set in what I call the 3-1-3 front? On the line, you would have Wilfork, Love, and Dedrick. Mayo, Hightower, and Spikes as the linebackers. Finally, you would have either the returning Andre Carter or Chandler Jones in the hybrid stand-up and hand-in-the-dirt outside linebacker. In the defensive backfield, McCourty, Arrington, Chung, and Gregory would be the personnel. Secondly, I have a very random question I've always been curious about. Do the players get a new jersey for each game, or do they reuse the one for as long as possible? Yes, they reuse them. Absolutely.
Yes.
But what do you think of that alignment? And that's going to be one of the big things, is where are these guys going to line up?
That's sort of like a 3-3-5, like a college where they have that rover outside linebacker guy that moves around. I think you're going to see that and everything else Bill can come up with.
What about the individuals that he has in it? What do you think of that?
I think there's I don't think you will see a lot of three down linemen like that a lot.
I agree.
But I certainly think you will see, and I think you'll see Dedrick. I think they like him, and I think he's a developmental guy that is going to see some playing time this year.
Do you think there's a chance if Hightower comes in and gets it right away that he and Spikes could be in the middle and Mayo becomes an outside guy?
Yeah.
Well, Mayo was an outside guy half of last year.
I'm just asking.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I think you will see all of that.
You'll see more of it. Not exclusively, but you'll see a lot more of that.
If you can say, do you think... Yes, I think you'll see it either in training camp, preseason, or the regular season.
You got to love when a player walks in, or Fred just
stops. Breaking it down.
He just stops his whole train of thought. He like looks, and you know
he gets starstruck.
Look at that, a player.
All right, webradiopatriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline, and I want to make sure Kevin has this right here. Okay, joining us now is Patriots new to Patriots defensive end Trevor Scott. Trevor, welcome.
New
to the
Buddha.
He's the boss.
I appreciate it.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
So, what are you up to?
Just got done working out and stuff. So,
okay, we're going to talk to you about that because we've seen some video of you on YouTube working out. And,
oh boy!
And Andy's our workout warrior here.
All right.
You know, he has all the combine numbers and everything. So
he likes to wear shirts that are too tight for him.
Yeah.
So, one of those guys.
It's shrunk.
Although that one's normal today, I got to give you the credit for that.
So we want to talk to you about that in a minute. But first of all, you know, what's it been like so far? You know, being in the Patriots, and I'm assuming you've been here for a while working out. How's it been?
Everything's been pretty good.
Yeah,
like I said, we just been out here working hard and getting adjusted to the area. So that's been a real challenge. But like I said, I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad, you know, the new opportunity has presented itself, and I want to make the most of it.
In terms of being in the building and working out and, you know, interacting, is it a big change from Oakland? Have you noticed a different environment?
I mean, it's definitely a big change. Anytime you go from one place you've been at 4 years to a completely new environment, you don't know where you are. You know, you don't really know that many people. But, I mean, like I said, everyone's been pretty nice and showing me around and kind of taking me under the wing a little bit. So everything's been going pretty well so far.
Explain your game to us, because you played defensive end, you played outside linebacker. If somebody asks you, you know, what's the best things you do on the field, what would be your answer?
I would say definitely a pass rush. I know, you know, things didn't go too well, you know, last season, the season before I got hurt. But like I said, I'm here now, and I feel like I can definitely, you know, fit a role on this team, and I'm looking forward to it.
Now, your first couple of years in the league, you were getting to the quarterback. Mm-hmm. I think you were kind of – were you tied for the team lead?
Yeah,
sacks for
both years.
Both your first 2 years, right? So obviously you have some natural ability, I would assume, there.
Mm-hmm.
How much scheme diversity have you seen throughout your career? Because they do a lot of that here where one player you're lining up in a 3-4 and you're standing up. Mm-hmm. Another play you're, you know, 4-3 or hands on the ground, whatever. So how much of that is –
I mean, I've been through it all. You know, I played defensive end to an actual a 4-3 will linebacker to you know, a bounce around guy. So like I said, I mean, you really can't throw like any surprises at me. Pretty much done it all and seen it all. So I mean, you know, whatever they want me to play, you know, is what I'm going to play. So that's all I'm here for.
And you had some experience at tight end.
Yeah, in college.
Believe me, if you have any experience at anything, they will try you there here.
Fullback, long snapper. They've been known to move guys around. That early success you had, was that under Rob Ryan? Was he the coach there?
Yeah.
First couple. And so are you seeing some similarities? Do you think there will be some similarities? Obviously, he came from New England before going to Oakland, and maybe there's some scheme that might kind of transfer.
Yeah, I really don't know, you know, really what to expect right now. I'm just kind of, you know, coming in with – you know, open eyes and everything. So, I mean, I don't, this way, if I think of it like this, like, I won't be surprised by anything. So I'm just kind of thinking, like, you know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
All right, can we get to the workouts?
Yeah, yeah. So we do this. I mean, we've been doing this show for Patriots.com for almost over 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And we have well over 100,000 people that listen to every show. So this isn't just like, you know. So a lot of people are listening, and a lot of people have told us that they've seen your workout on YouTube. And I have as well. Andy has, you know.
I'm fat, so I just didn't watch. I don't watch anything.
So am I. So there's one guy that you were working out that said you were like the best guy that he ever trained. It was EPS or I forget, something on the West Coast. What was the name of that company? I want to give him a plug.
How long ago was this?
It's probably something you did in college.
It's still up there on YouTube. It was like
I train at Absolute Performance
Buffalo. Right. That's it. Absolute Performance.
Yeah, my trainer is Paul Childress. Yeah, he's out of Buffalo, New York.
Right, and he was touting you as like you were the most amazing workout guy that he ever trained. So I mean, is that something that, you know, there are certain guys that put more of an emphasis on it than others. Is that something that, you know, you are all in for?
Yeah, I mean, anytime I can train, like, I'm going to train. Like, that's one thing that I've always had a passion for, because I figured out, you know, early on is, as I got bigger, faster, stronger, it helped me that much more on the field. So, I mean, as soon as the season's over, you know, I'll probably take a couple weeks off, just let my body come back. But then after that, I'm in the weight room, I'm hitting it hard, just to, you know, better myself for the upcoming season.
Are you one of those guys, a lot of times the team workouts aren't as extensive? You know, there's a lot of, you know, three or four core lifts and things they want you to do. Do you add on to everything? Do you have your own workouts and whatever APS that you do there?
Yeah, I mean, first off, I think the training program here is great. But I mean, like anybody else, though, as soon as I get done with, like, my main exercises, you know, and their program and stuff like that, you know, if I want to do a little bit extra core or something like that, then I will.
Right. What do you think of Harold Nash? Biggest arms you've ever seen on a strength coach?
Dude's jacked.
Yeah, he is jacked. That's for sure.
I almost wanted to say something else there, didn't you? And that's okay. We've said worse on this show.
Yeah, believe me.
It's the internet. The FCC doesn't count. Yeah. We're okay. As long as Robert Kraft doesn't get mad at us, we're good. And the other question, we had Will Allen in here last week, and he said his eyes were really opened by these workouts the first couple of weeks, that he was sore and it was probably harder than stuff he's done in previous stops. Would you say that's accurate? This is a pretty difficult off-season program?
Yeah, I think it's pretty accurate. We do a lot of different things here, stuff that I've never really done before. So, I mean, anytime I could do, you know, new things, and if it's going to tear my body up and I'm sore as hell, then, you know, I love that type of stuff. So,
you know, one of the things we hear a lot about when a new player comes in is, you know, they want to get right into the playbook immediately. You know, they want to – I think Anthony Gonzalez said that to us too. He wants to get immersed right into the playbook right away. From a practical standpoint, though, I know right now you're doing the off-season, you know, strength and conditioning program. How soon do you guys actually get to see a playbook, and do you actually get to start doing that sort of mental preparation?
I mean, first and foremost, like, we start off with a strict regimen, you know, training and stuff like that. And as far as like the playbook stuff, like, I've always been a type of guy that we're going to be living in the playbook, you know, come like later in spring and, you know, all through summer camp. So I kind of just I just go with the flow right now with that type of thing. Some guys, like you said, they love to just get right in it, and other guys just like to, you know, focus on training, because, you know, once football starts, it's just it's nonstop, and that's all you're going to be thinking about, eat, sleep, and breathing in this playbook. So, I mean, I just kind of try to balance the two.
Eric, we were talking about working out, and you interrupted
us. Yes, just because you're skinny and little.
There was one exercise.
You're a kicker.
In better shape than these guys, though.
There was one exercise you were doing with the sit-ups with the bar.
Mm-hmm.
I think you might have had 85 pounds on the bar, and you're – where'd you get that one from? Because we haven't seen that one.
Is it hard?
I actually, it is very hard. And I actually got that exercise from Brad Roll, my strength coach in Oakland.
Okay.
Yeah. So I just kind of, that's the thing. Like, I've had like a lot of different trainers and stuff. So I kind of take bits and pieces from everybody and just incorporate them in the workouts.
How about muscle ups? You've ever done muscle ups where you do the pull up straight into a dip above the pull up bar?
You know, I've seen people do that on YouTube, and I actually tried it once and almost about tore my lats out.
That's what I
said. Yeah, I told you.
All right.
I saw a guy doing it at the gym yesterday.
We were saying,
I've never seen it.
Yeah.
We were saying it looks impossible.
It's pretty legit.
Yeah. It's technique, though. It's got to be – you've got
to
get –
it's kind of a gymnast thing. It's what they use on the high bar to kind of get up.
If you want
to
see, like, that type of stuff, go on to YouTube and look up the bartenders. Are these kids that –
the bartenders?
The bartenders.
Oh, tenders.
With a Z, yeah. Tenders.
Okay.
So
boys!
They're like these group of guys that – like, inner-city guys, and they work out on, like, playgrounds and stuff and pull-up bars. And you want to see some crazy pull-up stuff.
Well, yesterday I saw a guy who was a bodybuilder. He was 240.
Yeah.
And he was doing the muscle-ups.
Probably like on Venice Beach or something.
Yeah,
he did, like, 20 of them.
Very impressive.
Ridiculous.
Momentum involved, just flat out pulled himself up, rotated.
Yeah, because there were some that we saw where the guys were in good shape, obviously, but they were using their legs to sort of like lift them up to get there. This guy wasn't doing any leg motion at all. He was just pulling himself up, pushing. I mean, it was insane.
I'm going to try it when no one's around in case I fall. Or
I have another workout question for Trevor, too. On this show, not very long ago, within the past year, there was a push-up contest between these two. And there was some controversy, of course, because he was doing sort of he was trying to get as proper a technique as you could.
Okay.
He was going for more speed.
Yeah, halfway down.
So there was a little bit of a controversy as to what the actual
same amount of time,
technique was.
I did like 31,
did like
30, 32,
and I did 62.
He did like 62. So there's no way that you weren't cheating.
I was hoping that you could kind of recreate your form so that he could sort of.
I'm not. Well, all
that
I can tell you is
strange,
that,
though. 60, I mean, 60 push-ups in a minute or whatever. I mean, isn't that a fitness test?
I thought you got me.
Freddie's head got really red during the course of the contest.
I got a little concerned
about it. I put a stop.
He started yelling at me.
You're saying you were doing full push-up and he was doing half push-up.
Right. That's what he's claiming.
Well, that's what Fred claims. Yeah. I wasn't actually watching Andy.
I could see him under the table.
And we weren't counting for ourselves. These two were counting for
us. I will say that Fred was doing very legitimate push-ups.
Eric doesn't know what a real push-up is.
Oh, the hell, please.
I'm about to say, you should have laid down the rules of what a real push-up was before you had this.
That's true.
And now they won't do it again.
And yeah, they won't duplicate the effort.
It was ratings. Gold too. You should have seen all the emails.
Another question: when guys are doing the bench, and I'll ask you this too because you probably do it.
He's the professional.
They add the chains. Why not just put more weight on? Why do you?
Oh no,
why do you
I know the
chains
answer to that,
on?
But I'll
let
you.
Well, it's different because, like, say you put the chains on.
Yeah.
It's for like almost shocking your body almost. As soon as you take the bar off, it's going to be heaviest at the top.
Right.
And as you let the bar down, more chains fall on the ground, so it gets lighter at the bottom.
The links on the okay.
Because you use some of the videos I saw was resistance bands.
Yeah,
which is
bands
kind
and chains.
That I understand
the
resistance,
but it's the same thing.
Okay.
When it's in a pile on the ground, you're not lifting it.
Okay.
But when it's up, you're lifting it.
Yeah. I understand now. Okay.
It's just different ways of just shocking your body.
That's the end of my workout questions.
Okay, do you have any football questions?
No, I'm all done.
I do. I have one. You're talking about the playbook, and you like to kind of put it off until everybody's doing it and immerse yourself. Do you think you are a guy with a high football IQ, or do you expect to maybe, because this is a pretty difficult scheme and diverse scheme, do you think you have a high football IQ, it'll come easily? Or?
Yeah, I would definitely think I have a high football IQ now, and just for the fact of all the things I did in Oakland, like when I was a D lineman, like you're only looking at like three things, like a triangle, and then you step 5 yards off the ball and all of a sudden you see receivers motion and it's like a whole different world. So, I mean, just the fact that I had to learn all of that and just bounce around so much. And I feel like I really learned like the game of football as far as like, you know, formations and motions and, you know, what guys are doing where and just knowing where your help is on the field. So, I mean, I think my football IQ has definitely risen, that's for sure.
And did you see a great opportunity here? Because obviously this defense struggled a little bit last year. I don't know if you're familiar with the numbers, but they had their issues. And, you know, they lost. Mark Anderson left via free agency. Andre Carter's kind of in limbo. Did you see an opportunity? That's a place where I can go. I can compete for playing time, a starting job. Did you see the opportunity that existed here?
Yeah, that's exactly what I saw. It was exactly that. Where it was an opportunity. I figured this would be the best place for me to come and, you know, be able to, you know, get on the field. Just for, you know, everything that they do. So, I mean, you know, I'm very, very fortunate and, you know, very happy to be here.
Why do the Raiders have so many penalties?
I don't even know.
Is it a reputation thing? They just have a bad rap, so the referees are harder on them. But it just seems every year.
I think
and
Seymour
every year
earned
they
his.
Say,
well, I want to ask
year they
you,
say that
I
we're not going to do
about
this,
Seymour.
And they do it anyway.
What was it like playing with Richard? We have a long history with
Richard
here,
obviously.
Oh, it
was phenomenal.
We love Richard.
Yeah, he's one of the nicest guys
He was on the show right before he got traded.
Yeah, I don't, you know, the precedent is there. It was probably months.
Yep.
Two months, maybe?
2 months before he was on this show talking about how he was getting in shape, didn't want to get too big and stiff, and then boom, he was out of town.
He also talked about, you know, didn't want the Obama.
The stimulus plan. He wanted to be paid.
He wanted to get paid. So that might have had more to do with it than, you know, actually being on the show. But
so you enjoyed playing with him, though?
Oh, yeah, I loved it. He's a great leader and a great role model. And just
except when he's getting those 15-yard penalties against the Patriots too early to start the game.
The reason I bring it up, what was it like? Because I know that that game meant a lot to him. We know Richard pretty well. And I know that game meant a lot to him last year. And he came up a little bit, came out a little bit overexcited and had some foolish penalties that Freddie talked about. What was he like that week leading into that Patriots game?
You know, he was just like any other game, though. He wasn't too high and he wasn't too low. Like, he just wanted to go out and get a win. And just the fact that he was playing the Patriots, you know, you could definitely tell it meant that much more to him. Yeah. And, you know, so he came out of the game fired and, you know, shooting guns ablazes, man. So, I mean, I can't, you know, you can't blame him.
Yeah. Before you go, you want a cookie or are you one of those nutrition freaks? They're really good.
I need a protein shake.
See, that's where I get in trouble. Yeah. I finish working out and then I go have cookies and pizza.
All right, Trevor Scott, what number will you be, do you think? You have any idea?
Shoot, who knows? Probably 99.
Okay.
Chandler Jones wants it. Yeah.
You get some competition. All right.
You were here first, though.
You could have a workout competition. That'll probably be in
We'll do a push-up contest.
Muscle ups.
He was a first-round pick. Yeah. Cough up a little something for the
effort. At the end of the day, a number doesn't mean anything to me, so.
That's right. You make the number. The number doesn't make you.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. New defensive end for the New England Patriots, Trevor Scott. Thank you for coming to the show. We'll be right back after this.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day. With plush leather seats, including legroom galore, to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
What would make your business better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a business checking account, better banking is a package of business solutions with preferred rates and better resources, along with customizable options designed to fit your business perfectly. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. Let us show you how dedicated we can be to your business. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go,
Pat!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pat!
Indeed, go Pats. With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Fred's the boss, the chief, the leader of the PFW in Progress clan. And while he often goes on rants about fun facts, Skype, and making $5 the hard way, he sometimes has interesting things to say, or at least when you can hear him.
PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I just got yelled at because I didn't have my mic on.
Why don't you put your mic on?
Welcome to PFW. I had my mic off again.
Again.
Two shows in a row.
Turn your mic on, Fred.
Oh, I should remember to...
As sure as the stars shine above.
And Fred didn't turn on his mic.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
That's the longest you've ever gone.
And now, back to PFW in Progress. That is, if Fred remembers to turn his mic on.
All right, back here. You got a bad rap on one of those. You should have had your mic off. Your mouth was filled with food.
Right.
That's the time to have your mic off.
You probably put the show back on before I was ready.
Probably.
Thank you to Trevor Scott. Seems like a nice guy. I always hope these guys make the team. You know, I feel like...
When was the last time we had a not good guy?
No, they're all good. That's what right. I mean. It's like you, they come on here.
They're not good guys.
They're so nice to us. You know,
my mic is
your mic is on now.
Like I can hear you. No, you're on. Okay, I think my headphones.
You know, they're
are
so
on.
Nice to us. They put up with our nonsense. And
you gave him the look.
I
we
did.
Needed cameras.
Oh, why do the Raiders get penalty?
Yeah. You gave him that look.
Well,
like,
it was a joke.
You look down at him over the glasses.
Why,
you're not
why do the Raiders get so many penalties?
It was supposed to be a joke.
I know. You know. I like how he really opened up about the workout. So you can tell that's his passion.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I don't even think football is his passion. Working out is his passion. And I can sympathize with that. I like that.
You can sympathize with it.
Well, you know, I always didn't.
Relate,
I don't know. We need
to relate
sympathy.
To it.
No, but like in the summer.
I think you mean emphasize.
No, I mean sympathize. Like you love football, and then you think you're gonna have this great workout, and then you get the workout from the strength and conditioning coach, and it's like two
right.
sets of squats. It's like it's not even
two Hail Marys.
This guy's
going
to be a professional.
look at Tip. Oh, you missed Tip.
It's TV.
NFL Radio. Network, 1985 Patriots yearbook. For those interested. Yeah, no, I could see Andy, you know, at Tufts, Eric, with the strength and condition.
Yeah.
This is all?
Well,
like,
he admitted
he's like the guy that, like, Mrs. Jones, you forgot to give us homework.
Right. Like in, remember Bad News Bears?
The kid that finishes the math test and puts his pencil down real loud so everyone knows that he finished in 10 minutes.
That's just, all we're going to do?
Just
remember,
two
sets of squats?
From
remember
workouts.
Bad News Bears when the kid goes up to bat and then he catches the pitch over home plate and he's like,
yeah.
Remember that one?
Right. A little
is
faster.
A little faster, huh?
Who's this guy think he is? Mickey
he likes
Mantle?
To work out.
But, you know, you hope he makes it.
And thank him for saving us because you thought you could do a muscle up. And the man who is a professional athlete who loves working out admitted he almost got hurt trying to do a muscle up.
Yeah.
So I don't want you ever attempting a muscle up because you might die.
The thing is, you can do it. You can do a pull up, right? And you can do a dip. It's just the transition you have to learn. That's all.
Yeah, but that's.
And that takes a while.
But
you
I don't
can't
know
just
if that's
do
a strength thing. I don't know if it's a strength thing.
It's
my
both.
Point.
It's a strength and coordination.
Yeah.
The getting it at the right time where you're switching. And there is a point where I think you have to rotate and kind of let go. And
right,
all that could, involved yeah. sounds like I could get hurt.
My initial reaction was you're going to tear your forearms.
I'm kind of not knowing anything about working out, obviously. But when Andy brings that up to a guy who is a workout warrior and he has the reaction that he had, I wouldn't even think about trying
Man.
Something like that.
What did he say to check out? I already forgot.
Bartenders. With a Z.
Bartenders.
Yeah.
I think ESPN Boston is complaining to our producer that we get good guests and they don't. Well, maybe if you shave, people would be comfortable coming in your studio.
You didn't look like the Unabomber.
By the way, how's that draft party working out? Maybe if I had been there, ESPN listeners and fans in the audience would have left knowing who we were
going to pick. He's now arguing with people who aren't on the show.
I can't hear him.
Right. Expert Adam Jones. Go eat your apple.
Dan the Byman writes in at webradio@patriots.com, now that we got our wish on draft, when do we get our wish for a Super Bowl? With that said, they've drafted three potential pass rushers, Jones, Hightower, Beckett. Either one can be a threat for the opposing offense. Plus, we have other guys on the team already. Besides all that, I'm also intrigued to see the Denard guy. How tall is he? On tape, he looks very, 5'10". Very quick. We will have to wait and see about our new free safety. Overall, I'd give them a B-plus for the draft. Do you think we're Super Bowl bound? Can we just have the trophy already?
Fred does.
Fred,
history
taught
that?
Us a lesson. Games have to be played.
Fred's already putting together a fan guide of places to see while in New Orleans. I just have my sights set on the place with the two legs swinging
just
in.
Just trying to get the center quarterback exchange here. That's all.
It's true. We got a long ways to go.
Breaking news locally in the football world. Boston College has announced that running back Montel Harris has been dismissed due to repeated violation of team rules. Huh. So if you're a BC Eagles fan, you just lost a running back.
Oh, you're the one to steal Fred's line to everybody who said the fans of PFW, the TV show.
That program is going down the pooper.
RL has a question for Paul, since he's doing the research on Ebert. Any potential for him to be a returner?
He had very little of that in college. He had no punt returns, and I think he had a couple of kicks, but not a lot.
He's fast.
He's very fast. We talked about that earlier in the show. But, yeah, I would think that he would get an opportunity to do that here.
Right.
Because
ball bounces off his face or something.
Right. But you find out, you know, when you go out there for these OTAs and these mini camps and into training camp, how does he handle the ball? And we've seen, you know, our first impressions are generally pretty good on these. You know, you see guys that just don't look comfortable doing it.
Except Edelman.
Except, yeah, Edelman's the exception to that rule. He looked awful doing it all throughout the spring and
picked
into the summer.
Thereafter.
Then all of a sudden, the first one he handled in a preseason game, he took that to the house. And,
he's pretty much been
in that mix ever since.
But it is easier to do kickoffs, and that's what I think he would be.
He's a
speed
start off with. He's a speed guy. There's no question about
and that's
it. 4.39 or something like that, 40 at his pro day. He's been a
Will Allen scoffs at that.
He's been a productive guy.
4.22.
We'll see. I just think that he's a guy that, depending on what the caliber of all those free agents, what they have left, you know, the Dante Stallworths and the Anthony Gonzalez's and those guys, if they're all, able to come in and contribute and carve out a role for themselves, then Ebert has got virtually no shot at anything beyond the practice squad. But if these guys aren't really ready, I could see him doing more as a wide receiver than, say, Julian Edelman.
Plus, he could pull a hammy, be on IR.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Guys are going to be hurt. We know that.
Especially, but with this receiving core, with all these old coots and one-year potential guys, or potential. They could look to redshirt somebody there and say, okay, next year, after a year in the system, we'll see what you got.
WebRadioPages.com, 508-298-0398 is the A's Ticket Hotline. We did have a caller named Claude who wanted to teach Eric some French, but he hung up. So let's go to Billy in California. Hey, Billy.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Just a couple of things. The first thing is, did you see that John Harbaugh released the statement talking about his comments on the radio?
I'm just seeing that now on TV. What you tell us what you think he said.
Basically, what he was saying was he wanted to reiterate that those were the viewpoints and perception around the public and the league, but that he totally believes that the Patriots and Saints and their players earned those championship rings.
Right. Okay.
Very interesting. He said he reached out and talked to both Bill Belichick and Teddy Bruschi.
You think it was necessary to reach out to Teddy Bruschi?
Well,
yes, I do, as a friend.
This gets into Andy's point.
What do you mean as a friend?
He's a friend to Bill Belichick.
Belichick, but what about Bruschi?
But it's a combination factor. He feels like now it's taken as I took a big shot at one of the big players of the big
So did he reach out to Rodney Harrison and Richard Seymour?
No, Bruschi went on ESPN.
It's Bruschi because of what he said on ESPN.
I know. I'm only kidding.
Well,
it wasn't funny.
But that's the difference.
But I don't think that I think it's necessary if he felt that way to reach out to Belichick. I don't think he owed Bruschi a phone call.
Well, no, he probably didn't. But Bruschi's the guy who's killing him.
He didn't want this whole scandal to erupt and realized he's doing damage control.
And I also think that Harbaugh is thinking that he is being misportrayed in this case, which you agree with.
I do.
You know, we started off the show talking about it, and I think that he's telling Teddy, listen, I didn't say that you guys didn't earn those wins. What his point was, when something like this gets out there and it is seen, that's the perception.
Right.
That's what Harbaugh said.
And it's hard to shake it.
And now, you know.
Especially when people keep bringing it up, like him.
Well, especially when like Pro Football Talk is saying that you know, he said that all the Super Bowl titles should be discredited.
But
that's
that
not
aside,
said.
There's no interpretation if he doesn't bring it up. He is the one who dredged
and
it.
And that's why he's made the phone
and
calls.
And I guarantee
that's why he's made the phone calls. And he's absolutely
he had
right.
the chance he would do that over.
Now,
Billy, what
do you
think?
Of course he would.
Billy, what do you think? Billy?
Billy, don't be a hero.
No, I think he meant what he said the first time around, and I think he's just trying to backtrack.
Oh, okay.
He didn't backtrack. He meant exactly what he said the first time around, and he reiterated that to Bill. He didn't say the Patriots should be discredited.
But he said there's an asterisk attached to him.
And there is.
And there right. certainly is.
I don't think he's backtracking
at
all.
He didn't give
a
commentary as to whether he thinks the asterisk is deserved or not. I still think the most telling comment he made was the one where he said, yes, I've thought they were cheating, but I can't tell you who and where because it'll make a huge controversy. Can you imagine what he foresees as a big controversy? I just think that is the most interesting thing he said. Truth serum. You know how we give it to Bill? I want to give it to Harbaugh, too, and find out where he thought he was cheated.
Yeah, sure.
All right, Billy.
All right, Billy.
I just had one other,
okay.
one other
well, then
quick
speak.
Point. I don't know if anyone has mentioned this before, but I believe... And call me crazy for this, but I actually think that the Patriots were trading up to 21 to get Kendall Wright. And I'll give you a couple of reasons why. The first one being that everywhere that you look on the mock drafts or team needs, no one had looked at the Tennessee Titans as needing a wide receiver. They might have thought because the Patriots actually made the trade up while Tennessee was still on the clock. So I don't think that they knew who they were going to take. And then they made the trade up ahead of Cleveland, who definitely was going to look at Kendall Wright and select him. Meanwhile, the Patriots went out to Baylor this past week and worked Kendall Wright out again. So just want to get your guys' thoughts on that. I'm not sure if anyone's mentioned that, but I just think that they were moving up for the wide receiver and we're going to take either Hightower or Jones with their second first-round pick.
It's a possibility. I mean, I know they liked Kendall Wright. I haven't heard anybody really discuss that that was really the target of this trade.
I agree about Wright, but I don't agree on Tennessee not needing a wide receiver. I think that was a very logical pick for Tennessee.
Yeah, no, I think that was a logical pick, but I couldn't tell you what the Patriots were thinking when they traded up.
No, I think
they liked both players.
Billy raises a very good point because I agree with Andy. I think that they did have some interest, and you can't really paint the Patriots into a lot of draft corners. But those guys they look at late tend to be guys that they're pretty happy with and they want to find something else out about. And the fact that they did look at Kendall Wright on Monday, I think Billy's right. There's probably some smoke there that was coming from a fire that they were thinking about taking him. But I do think Tennessee was a very logical place for a wide receiver to go. They have they don't have a lot of weapons there.
That would have really swayed this draft in public opinion, I think.
Taking
you
a wide receiver.
And I don't necessarily mean for the positive,
imagine
I mean for the negative.
Imagine if they traded up for a wide receiver.
If you took a wide
that would
receiver
be really,
and then took Hightower, because I don't think Jones would have still been on the board. So now you would have had three inside linebackers, a wide receiver, and still nothing on. Now Jake Beckett's going to be your top young option on the edge.
Right.
I think that would have swayed public opinion to the negative for this draft.
It could have.
Except for some, you know, the Eldridges and these people that love wide receivers.
Let's go to Anthony in Naples. Hey, Anthony.
What's going on, guys?
Oh, we're talking draft, talking to Trevor Scott, having a good time here.
I know, and talking future heart attack with you trying to do a pull-up.
I can
do a
pull-up.
Oh, it's not the pull-up.
No,
it's a muscle-up.
You cannot do a pull-up.
Have you ever done
maybe
a muscle-up, Anthony?
I used to be able to do plenty.
Used to is when you were lighter. Sure, believe
you're
that.
Right. I'm lugging around too much weight.
All right. Don't even think about doing a muscle-up. You're insane.
Muscle-up would be man down.
Have you ever tried one of those?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No. No, to be honest with you, I've never had an interest to do it. I'm like, it's one of those things, I'd want to try it when nobody's around in case I mess up.
That's what Andy said.
That's what I said.
Andy wanted to do it at Tufts after the football workouts were over, but no one was there.
Door. I didn't even know about him at Tufts. I would have done it there.
You didn't know about him until the other day.
It is really about technique. It's like it's a matter of like how you sway yourself up,
because
you're allowed to sway yourself up.
Well, you're allowed to.
Can I do pull-ups? Can I do pull-ups? Of course. So it's just a matter of like getting up there. And
how many pull-ups can you do, Anthony?
I don't know, probably about 20.
Wow, that's a lot.
That is a lot.
Yeah, well, I work out. What can I say?
Andy works out 3 hours a day. He can do 8.
I don't work out 3 hours a day.
2.5 at least.
Well, it seems that way.
Because it takes about 15 minutes.
Just during the week?
You leave around 10 in the morning, you're back at 4.
Yeah.
except for on show days.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the reason why I called, guys, is just I don't understand, like, these people that talk about the second-round pick of Tavon Wilson. This is frustration, and I'm not gearing it towards you, so don't take it personal, because you kind of had this opinion too. I don't care that they took this guy with a second-round pick. I really don't. They addressed a need at safety. Whatever they saw evaluating this guy, they liked. And I like the fact that they said, you know what, we like him. And we don't know. We're not in that war room. We don't know what they hear from around the league. Maybe somebody was. Maybe they got tricked. Maybe nobody was going to pick him at that spot or the spot just after them. We don't know. But the point is that, hey, Bill liked him. God bless. Pick him. I don't care. He's a player. I'm just happy that they picked defense, because we need help everywhere on that defense. And
the only question to that, Anthony, is did they get help with that pick?
We don't know. What?
No, I know that, but that's the only – I mean, I'm the one that raised the point about what the other GMs might have been thinking, and maybe the Patriots thought that he wasn't going to be around in the third round if they waited another round to try to get him. They might be right. I don't know. They know more about that than any of us do. But it's going to come down to whether or not that guy can help them. Just because you need help on defense and you pick defensive players doesn't mean you pick the right ones.
Right.
But Steve Cunningham.
But we don't know that. No one knows the answer to that.
Absolutely. Right. I'm willing to give the guy. And I agree with what Andy and Eric said about, you know, I'm kind of pulling for the kid because he's got a lot riding on him now. He's a second-round pick. That's a high pick. And he was universally panned by everybody except for, you know, the hardcore Bill apologists. Right. Everybody else is sort of wondering where this kid came from that wasn't invited to any of the postseason stuff and why we took him in the second round.
And he's had enough trouble in his life. He doesn't need more baggage.
Yeah, right. I'm pulling for him.
Sure. But didn't the report come out that at least seven other teams, like, visited with him?
Well, that's the report.
Well, yeah, but do you think the average second-round pick visited with seven teams or, I don't know, 28?
Right. That's a fact that seven teams visited him. But
they may have visited with him to draft him in the seventh round.
Right.
Doesn't mean you like him in the second. Because he wasn't at the combine, he wasn't at bowl games, there's less information, there's less work done on this guy.
But, you know, again, let's go back to what Bill Belichick said in his post-draft, the first one, where he said, you know, teams are spreading us out more. Is there a possibility that guys like Tavon Wilson, with that type of versatility, actually their value in the NFL is more than in college?
But DaQuan Menzie is the counter-argument.
Okay, no, maybe
the
he's
kid out
better.
Of Alabama who did the same thing,
right.
Was a safety-slash-corner who played for the best defense in the country and was on the radar of absolutely everyone.
But let's just, not necessarily Wilson, but let's talk about guys that have that versatility.
Yes.
Maybe now when NFL teams are looking at these guys, they have a higher value than they did maybe 20 years ago.
Well, yeah, but that's been happening for 3 to 5 years now. It's been going in that direction.
But I would argue there's more spread stuff in college than anywhere.
Yeah.
So if
in
he's
the
not,
Big Ten?
Everywhere.
Okay.
But the bottom line is players like that were invited to the combine, were invited to bowl games.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Big Ten. Ohio State runs it. Michigan runs it. Nebraska runs it. I mean, there's some prototypical old-school offenses like Wisconsin and Penn State,
you know,
but there's plenty of spread.
And it works the other way. A guy that, you know, runs an option offense, his value goes down when NFL guys are looking at him, where in college his value was very high.
Right, but that's I don't think that's apples to apples here in this case with the defensive.
Hey, but, guys, hello?
Yeah, hello here.
Is this thing on?
Oh, okay. I thought I got hung up on. But, guys, the thing is, sometimes people just get missed. You know, maybe, you know, I don't care about how he didn't get invited to the Senior Bowl. I don't care if he didn't get invited to the combine. Sometimes there are so many players out there, you just get missed. And maybe the reason why he was playing slash safety slash, you know, cornerback, they were like, oh, apparently he's not good at either or because he's going back and forth. So maybe that's why a lot of people just like passed on him. And then later on in the process, they're like, whoa, wait a minute. He's actually pretty good at these certain things. And maybe that's why he rose on the draft board towards the later part. And I'm talking about maybe a couple of weeks before the draft. Maybe his name started getting out there. We don't know.
I think that's probably kind of how it happened.
But we don't know if it rose anywhere but New England.
We don't.
Yeah. No one will ever know that. Bill didn't know that either.
But I think we can guess that New England thought it was rising on other people's boards, and that's why they took him in the second round.
I don't think he would take him there if he didn't think anyone else would take him.
If he thought he could get him in the seventh round, he wouldn't have taken him in the second.
Right. But that doesn't mean he's right.
Right.
He doesn't know any more about the 31 others than we do.
All right. Thanks, Anthony.
The only part, and I think Anthony made a lot of good points. The only thing I don't like is falling back on, obviously, Bill found something he liked about him.
Right.
I think we can go into the assumption that any move that he makes, when he says it, I made it because it's in the best interest of the football team, he's being sincere about it.
Right.
I think that he drafts every player that he takes because he thinks that that was the best move to make. He signs every free agent that he signs because he thinks that was the move to make. So, yeah, Andy, you keep bringing up Jermaine Cunningham. I'm pretty sure that Bill thought that that was the best move, the best pick.
Right.
He saw something in Jermaine Cunningham
and Darius
that
Butler.
A lot of people didn't see.
And they Terrence make mistakes.
And Rob
of
Gray.
Course they do.
And Rob Gronkowski.
Freddie, I'm not killing him about it. I'm it's not
it's not an argument. You start knowing that he likes the guy he drafted.
You know, there's two
columns.
Doesn't
mean it's right.
There's two columns here, pluses and minuses. Well, one of the pluses isn't that Bill liked him.
Right. I don't think he's ever drafted a guy. I don't really like this guy, but I'm just going to say his name right now.
Anthony,
unlike the people who make their mock
draft
picks.
Another thing Anthony said, you know,
I don't really like
that
him,
guys fall through the cracks. I called the guy, the president of the National Football Scouting, that actually does the invitations for the combine.
El Jefe.
And he told me that every year 35 to 45 guys slip through the cracks that, you know, they didn't think was draftable. That
He actually tell you how many of those are undrafted free agents, out of curiosity?
No, but he says at the end of the day, we judge
35 or 40.
But he says at the end of the day, we judge ourselves not by how many guys got drafted. It's how many guys make the 53-man squads. That's how they judge if they got the guys right or not to be invited. Not how many got drafted, but how many make the squad. So that includes the undrafted free agents.
No, I'm sure it's the 95% of those guys that they didn't have at the combine or undrafted free agents. I'll guarantee it.
So, I just want to know how many of those guys weren't injured and didn't get to go to senior and
could be.
That to me
I think it's a small percentage.
It just shows how inexact this whole thing is. It really is.
I don't think that's a big number. You do.
Wait, it also doesn't show anything yet. If he's out of the league in 2 years and sucks, it shows they did their job right and Bill didn't. I'm not saying that's going to happen definitively.
Right, sure.
But they could be right.
Oh,
the guy
yeah.
may not have been worthy of going to the NFL
Absolutely.
Combine.
In other words, the jury's still out. This guy has to make a 53-man roster and then play for
a while.
Well, he's a lock.
He's going to make
because he's a
second
round
pick.
They're going to make sure that he's on there. But again,
IR.
It takes a while before you can judge these things. I mean, you just can't
for
do
you,
it right away.
Not for me.
But you also left out part of that, how the process works, because they sit down in December after the season's over and they pull the NFL personnel people.
Right.
So it's not some college committee that doesn't know what it's talking about.
They pull NFL personnel departments. And again, like Paul said, the decisions are made in December on who is going to get invited to the combine.
But I've also heard the theory posed that if you had your eye on a guy who's a sleeper, you would not advise that he go to the combine because that opens him up to everybody else.
Sure.
So if you were a team that literally thought Tavon Wilson you liked and somebody calls now you got blah, blah, blah. Who do you get to say? You don't say his name.
Right.
And if no one else says his name, he doesn't go to the combine and you have an inside track to draft him.
And, you know, and then you would do your own, because the other thing that you talked about, and it's not news, but the number one thing the teams say they use the combine for is medical.
Right.
That's the number one thing. You know, and the number two thing is the interviews.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't even got on the field yet.
Right.
You know, it's
because I think they're relying mostly on tape.
Right.
Sure.
To see about a guy's play. I mean, they do the dog and pony show with the benching and the running and all that stuff just because they have to.
Yeah, and, you know.
Don't call it a dog and pony show. It got Nate Ebner drafted.
Yeah, 3 and 4 is psychological.
He did the dog and pony show and wowed people, and all of a sudden he's a 6th-round
pick. Yeah, I mean, if you do something ridiculous like that, obviously, it helps you, but for most of these guys, they know that they're fast or they're good or they can get to the quarterback or not.
Yeah. I think they poo-poo that a little too much, and then if you look at their and I'm not talking about the Patriots, I'm talking about the league in general, poo-poos, you know, shorts and T-shirt cattle fest, and then a guy goes out and wows them, and he gets drafted in the first round. And,
too often.
And you go, well, wait a minute, did you watch him play? Because he wasn't really that good when he played, but now you think he's big, fast, and strong, so you drafted him.
Phil from Nova Scotia writes in, just for some spring training to prepare for any possible AK-47 shows, I would like Kevin to get 60 uninterrupted seconds to give his analysis of the Patriots draft picks, or you could just play some monkey and fart sounds.
He's on the phone.
Looking like a monkey.
He's trying to be serious. I'm serious right now. I'm serious, producer.
Sometimes we talk so long, I get booted off the email, which is what just happened. But now I'm back on.
Good story.
Okay. Good stuff there.
Let's see. Web radio at patriots.com. A lot of emails. A lot of emails.
It's about that time for him, though.
He'll run out of 20
of two.
Nathan writes in, I heard an NFL analyst state that the Patriots secondary has never been the same since Eric Mangini left. They said he was influential in the secondary picks for New England when they won Super Bowls, and when he went to the Jets, he influenced the acquisition of Revis. Can you address this? Because every year, Belichick seems to be wasting second or third round picks on DBs, and they are getting cut a couple years later. Also, can you talk about the Jets cursing out the Seahawks for picking for taking their pick of choice? I would feel better if the Jets effed up worse than we did on our later round picks. Lastly, can you project the future of Chandler Jones and compare it to Jason Pierre-Paul of the Giants? Who do you think will be a more impact player?
Pierre-Paul.
It's kind of hard not to say the guy who's already done it.
Right.
I mean, I don't think that's a shot at Chandler Jones at all. Pierre-Paul's already had how many sacks? 17?
I think it's an unfair comparison. Yeah. I don't think that's what he's going to be. I mean, some people think he's going to bulk up and be like a 3-4 end, like a Seymour position type.
Oh,
player.
Man. I don't see that at all.
No, I don't either, but.
What about a Jason Taylor type?
I don't see that.
But that's much more plausible to me than Andy's thing.
I don't ever see him getting 17 sacks or one of those freakish.
I don't think he's a dynamic
guy. No, yeah. Well, to be Jason Taylor, you got to do that.
No, but
so,
I think you were talking about body type, though, weren't you?
Yeah, body type.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he has that body type. Yeah. No question. I'm talking about being an impact playmaker. Jason Taylor's had some of the greatest seasons in NFL history for an edge guy.
Yeah, I don't
think Jason Pierre-Paul's a defensive player of the year type player. I don't think Chandler Jones will ever be that. The comparison I keep getting back to is Willie McGinnis, who most Patriots fans think had a long and productive career. But he was never a defensive player.
Andy and Paul think was a bust.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, I'm just letting fans
bust
compare to something that they knew and liked.
It wasn't great.
And then, of course, he asked about the Seahawks taking, who was it that they chose?
Irvin.
Bruce Irvin. Bruce Irvin over the Jets wanted him, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, well, evidently, the story is that Rex Ryan called and pretended that he MF'd. Pete Carroll or whatever.
Kind of kidding around.
Stealing our guy.
Kind of like Peyton Manning did when they drafted Maroney. And if it works out the same way, then Rex Ryan will be fine with it.
What about Mangini being
That is pretty
interesting.
I haven't given any thought to that, but that's interesting.
He certainly drafted Revis, and he certainly the DBs were better here, but I think the DBs were also better here.
Yeah.
they
were more talented.
For? Were they better because they played with, Mangini coached them and helped pick them?
I think
or were they
better
because they were better?
Yeah.
I mean, we weren't saying this when they picked McCourty. We were saying they hit a diamond until he, turned a coal.
There's a little
bit
to that.
Did you look up all these guys?
I did. Well, yeah, I looked up the coaching staff. Yeah,
I was looking up. I meant the high draft picks for defensive backs.
Oh, well.
Because I think we had some misses when Mangini was here, too, if I recall. But
let's go back. Hold on.
I don't know. It's an interesting thing to make that correlation. I think Andy's right, though. I think he was a better coach.
But they didn't respect
the
him.
Guys they have. Remember, I've told that story a million times, but Ty Law and Lloyd Malloy
in general.
Openly mocking Harris.
They don't respect anyone.
But I think
others who may have yelled at Jim Harbaugh on the TV this morning on SportsCenter didn't really respect him.
We had guys like Dexter Reed and Antoine Harris. Although Harris was a later pick.
Antoine was like a fourth.
Right? Antoine Harris was like sixth round 2000. Brock Williams, third round 2001.
Yeah, but that was pre-Mangini. I mean,
Mangini was defensive backs.
No, yeah, but he didn't that was really that early on.
That was before he was a significant.
He didn't have any cachet.
Well, I mean, he was still a defensive backs coach.
Did you say a significant fat guy?
Factor.
Oh.
He's
because he was skinny.
Eric Mangini didn't have any say in who they were drafting in 2002.
2003 was Wilson and Samuel, second round and fourth round.
If I'm him, that's when I started to have an opinion.
That's when I felt my oats. I filled the shoes.
Ellis Hobbs, 2005, third round.
When was Dexter Reed?
Dexter Reed was
good radio.
Asher in Illinois writes in.
Hakeem Akbar?
2004, fourth round, Dexter Reed.
Hakeem Akbar?
Hakeem Akbar was earlier.
I think they've had some misses that people forget about.
Fifth round, 2001.
Yeah, but late round
picks. Later picks, to be sure. They
haven't missed on consecutive second-round picks like they've been doing lately.
Gus Scott, third round, 2004.
That would be a miss.
Yeah, but he was injured.
Yeah, but he was still a miss.
Yeah, it was a miss.
Yeah, but you drafted an ACL guy.
No, he tore his ACL after we got him.
Oh, I thought he tore it at Florida.
Yeah, remember he was the guy that
signed a 1-year contract. Good call there, Gus.
Yep.
Asher in Illinois says, I feel real happy with our draft picks, especially those in the first and seventh rounds. What are your impressions of what the late rounders can bring next year in long term? Andy might be interested to know that Bo biked Bama this weekend.
Did he make it?
According to ESPN, he only raised $400,000. Was that all your wife would let you donate?
If it had been closer, I would have gone and done it. That's a long way, Bama. Andre Tippett is going to see Bo maybe this coming weekend.
You should have ridden your bike down there.
Andre Tippett being inducted in the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. And you might say, He was born in Birmingham and lived there till he was seven, I believe.
Yemi from Texas says, is it true that Chandler Jones had 10 sacks in 3 years at Syracuse?
Yes.
If true, why are we so excited about him?
He also had 5 and 6 games this year. You prorate that over a full game, full season, and that's like 12 sacks. So what do you want to say? Most people have their junior year breakout. I don't even love Chandler Jones.
I go with 10.
Yeah. Talking fast.
Five and six games, I go 10 and 12 games.
I believe they played 13 games, I thought.
So you gave him 2 sacks for that extra game that he played in, huh?
I'm just saying.
Being generous.
Sure. He would have had a double-digit sack season.
But
you
Syracuse doesn't get
over.
To play 13 games
so,
anyway.
No. I mean, isn't that when most people have their breakout years as a junior, and then they enter the draft? His junior breakout year was decimated by an injury, but he averaged a sack a game.
If he had 10 or 12 sacks his senior year, I think you'd look at it a little bit differently.
He would have been a top 10 pick, wouldn't have him on your team, so you should be happy that he didn't.
But I also think that he is not – that's not the only thing he does.
Great,
no, he does a lot of different
things. Not the thing he does
well.
The greatest, certainly.
Versatility, just like all the other picks. Jacks of all trades.
In terms of pass rusher, I would have rather have had Whitney Mercilus, who they had an opportunity to draft. I think they chose, and I think it's predictably – the route of the more well-rounded player.
What if Whitney Mercilus had missed half of his junior year?
Mm-hmm.
He would have had zero career sacks.
That's what we're talking about.
Tyler did anything until he hit the field as a junior.
Tyler from Georgia on Friday, Skip Bayless tweeted that the 2008...
He had two! He had two sacks in his first 2 years, and then he broke out with 16. But you wipe away half that season, you're going to say, ooh, he had 10 sacks in his career. Why am I getting excited about him? Now you're excited because he had 16 with 9 forced fumbles.
All right, we get your point. Tyler from Georgia
Andy
on Friday...
Hearts Jones.
No, I don't even really like him that much. That's the thing. I like him as a pick, but I don't think he's this elite, phenomenal pass rusher. But you have to look at the whole picture when you tried to make one of these arguments.
Right.
Especially if you're going to be all snide about it like that guy. Well, do you have 10 sacks in his career?
Right. All right.
Now,
Tyler.
Now, how did you read a lisp and a mispronunciation?
Sounded like the
of
kind
career.
Of guy that would have a lisp and not know how to speak.
Fred's getting angry. Let him read the email.
That's all right.
I like to keep talking.
Poor Tyler. Emailed all the way from Georgia. Skip Bayless tweeted that tweeted that the 2008 first round draft was the best in recent history. Anxious to see what trades, players, and relevant NFL factoids made it so, I clicked the tweet to get more detail. Instead of NFL analysis, he stated the 2008 first round was the best because it took 6 hours. He complained this year's was too breathless and he hardly had time to tweet between picks. These television guys, it's all about entertainment and making sure they can get their name attached to everything that happens. I think that's why we haven't heard anything on the player penalties from the Bountygate scandal. ESPN or the NFL Network must still be in the process of putting together a 3-hour-long top 100 penalty special leading up to the announcements.
No, it's 10 specials.
I thought it was great.
How can I get my hands on one of those PFW shirts?
What PFW shirts?
I don't know. We have
t-shirts?
Some t-shirts.
Yeah, we have t-shirts. We might have new ones coming. I'm just a hint, just a little teaser.
I thought it was great first round. Went by quickly. People knew what they wanted. They made the move.
It was entertaining.
Get it over with. Let's go.
I love this year's first round draft, but imagine TV people only being concerned with entertainment.
Right.
who would have thought?
Bad Kevin says, Fred, you are such a D-bag. There is no way in hell you could do a muscle up. I've been doing CrossFit for 8 months now, and muscle ups are crazy. I'm not able to do one.
That's where the guy I saw doing it had picked it up. Muscle CrossFit.
I think one CrossFit workout would kill you, Fred. You can check out CrossFitNewEngland.com and see what their workout of the day is. Give it a shot and see how much it kicks your ass, Andy. I have a hell of a lot more respect for you.
Thank you.
Now that you have shared your knowledge of fitness. I now believe that you kick Fred's ass in push-ups because at least you can talk the talk. Fred, don't talk about blank you don't know. Just like you take a backseat to your boys in the draft, do the same when it comes to fitness.
Well, we know all we need to know about Fred's fitness knowledge and that he works out with a computer. That's his workout partner. He sticks his little thumb drive in a thing and, ooh, you're 30% stronger today, Mr. Kirsch. Good job.
Bold prediction, the Pats D will be ranked higher than it was last year.
30 it is.
Yep.
So.
Is that like the insanity workout, that CrossFit thing? I don't know exactly. There's one right up the street.
I hope everything you do fails.
I believe it is workouts with like a trainer, like group setting type stuff, kind of group personalized training. And that's where the kid I saw do it was what had got it from. But there's one, Fred, you know where that is, right? By the Sarah Bain camp in there. There's a CrossFit. Maybe you should stop by there. VIP, that's on your way home.
VIP Stripper says, guys doing CrossFit is stupid. They are weak. Girls doing CrossFit is hot. So there, this guy is
Hey, VIP strippers. What about guys doing workouts with computers
and all that,
with no other people actually in the room? What are those kind of people called?
Losers.
Kevin wanted to pass along some information because he's a big Ten football expert.
Michigan State. Sister's doing half the team.
Oh. That is so out of line. Typical Andy.
He's not standing up and defending his sister, though. Is he?
He knows the way the world works. Those girls that work with football teams want one thing and one thing only.
Do you guys remember
rhymes with rock?
You guys remember Blair White?
Yes.
He's
White Project.
Yeah. I was thinking Blair Thomas.
No, Blair White, Jag receiver for the Colts.
Yeah.
He was at Michigan State his senior year, 70 catches, 990 yards, 9 touchdowns. So obviously numbers that are quite favorable. Ebert's numbers are quite favorable at Northwestern, 75 catches for 1,060 yards and 11 touchdowns. So virtually the same across the board. Maybe he's got a shot.
Who?
Ebert.
Oh.
Similar kind of slot receiver, speed types. You know, you might have a chance with this guy, even though he's a seventh-round pick. Maybe he can stick around.
Okay.
I think there's a shot.
There's always a shot.
I started this
whenever
all
I
off.
Write profiles of guys, I finish the profile thinking the guy has a shot.
Yeah.
Well,
and then most of the time he does not.
I started off the whole thing with before you came down is.
Luckily, I have Chandler Jones. He's got a shot.
Every year, I always like to do the later round guys, and every year I fall in love with, you know, the various seventh round picks. It's very rare that I don't think the guy has a chance.
And I had one of those last year with Markell Carter.
Yeah, there's a few that I don't think that. I mean, there have been some that I didn't think had a chance.
Guys that dominate at the Division II level with 4 sacks. We're mad because Chandler Jones had 4 in the Big East.
Let's see, John.
Big East, Division II, same.
John and Lynn has a couple limericks. CAA. The Jets, great and distinguished
SEC.
Brain trust, thought drafting Bruce Irvin a must. Seattle took their draftees, so Copels was plan B and likely a new fat, lazy bust.
Well, he's not fat. He might be lazy, but he's not fat.
He might get fat. You didn't used to be fat.
And then he's got one about the Patriots. I got it wrong. Now I'll eat my hat. Wow, 2 first-round pass rushers at that. Trading up was nice, but trading up twice? Andy's pants must have been shat.
That one wasn't bad.
You like that.
But if I was really excited.
Because it had poopy in it. So he likes it.
Oh, yeah. Right. I'm immature. I've never pretended to not be immature.
Josh in London writes in, I was wondering if you saw the video where Chandler Jones receives the phone call from the Patriots staff about picking him, and they say something along the lines of, I told you this was how it was going to turn out, and Chandler agrees saying, yes, you were right, or something to that effect. I thought that was interesting and wanted to know your thoughts. I think it sounds like they told him that if he was available at the early 20s, they would move up and trade him.
That's what it sounds like, and that would fly in the face of they traded up for Kenny Wright, but
yeah.
Or Kendall.
That was Bears Nigerian.
You know, something just came on ESPN. They were showing Blaine Gabbert highlights from last year and all the sacks that
didn't
he took
take
and stuff.
Long.
These random things that come back and people make fun of you later. I wanted to clarify something. We were talking in the middle of one of those draft marathons over the weekend, and I said I think they had the quarterback, and I thought we were talking about Tampa Bay at the time, and then later I found out that we were talking about
Jacksonville.
I don't think that Jacksonville has a quarterback.
I do remember you said that, and
I do think Tampa Bay has a quarterback and Josh Freeman that still has potential. I don't think Blaine Gabbert does.
Typical Andy.
Because that was interesting, because I remember you were saying that. I was thinking, Paul likes Blaine Gabbert.
I have no recollection of it.
You know what's, funny about this? It was like something I literally hadn't thought of since then, but I just saw Blaine Gabbert come up, and I was like, you know what? That reminds me. And Eric and Fred are like, I thought that was strange. So clearly that was going to come back and haunt
me
some point in the middle of the season when I say Blaine Gabbert's a Jag.
Well, when we play the Jaguars in December, you love Blaine Gabbert.
I mean, Mike Lombardi killed Blaine Gabbert, just said he was a deer in headlights, you know, terrible rookie season, just didn't think he was NFL ready or at all. And I do remember you saying that. I was thinking, okay, you know.
I can't believe he's as bad. This is the part I finished. I can't believe he's as bad as he was as a rookie.
Yeah.
Because he had enough production in college that, I mean, he looked like he couldn't even play.
Did Mike Lombardi draft Jamarcus Russell? Or was he gone by then?
I think he was gone by then, wasn't he?
I just want to rip him by bringing up one of his bad
Well,
picks.
I just think he's one of those smarmy know-it-all types that
Josh in London
for.
Says, also, I'd like to weigh in on the discussion you were having about the more likely top 10 or bottom 5 defense. I think the defense will be vastly improved this year, as although the loss of Carter and Anderson looks big in the sacks column, it may not be so impactful if, say, Jones and Hightower could get half as many sacks but many more pressures leading to win completions.
However,
I feel they are more likely to be bottom 5 for one reason, which is that due to the offense being great, scoring often and quickly, the opposition gets more possessions, leading to a worse stat line regarding yards given up. I think this may be a trend in years to come, where great offenses such as ours and Green Bay from last season also have defenses that look poor on the stat sheet, despite not necessarily being the case when you look at points allowed and turnovers created.
I thought that defense looked poor on the football field.
Who had defenses that looked?
Green Bay.
Oh.
Did you honestly, Fred, don't look at the stat sheet. Did you think that defense looked bad when you watched it? I don't care about the stats, the numbers.
Yeah.
They gave up completions.
When
they
you can't get
near
off the
guy,
field, you look bad.
So they look bad.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with the number of possessions. And just watch them and say, is that a good defense or a bad? And it was bad.
No, because I don't think the possessions are up at Patriots games, because I think both teams, generally in a Patriots game, both teams possess the ball for long drives, because the Patriots offense had a ton of 14-play drives. 14 plays!
This was an 07 where they were going over the top to Moss and getting quick strikes. Finally, I would like to say that I looked up Eric's art after it was discussed during the draft weekend, and I think it's really very skillful. I was really impressed with the paintings I saw and was wondering how long do they take to do each, and what are you working on now?
Your mother.
Whoa. Andy. You really are just a vile, vile little man.
That email never had the butt that I was looking for.
The end of it, you mean?
Yes. Not the butt. I don't.
You're a very vile little
yes,
man.
Yes, you're mean.
I like those
very
emails
mean.
That say, Eric's paintings looked really nice, and I was just wondering. And then,
yeah, because you're a schadenfreude person.
No, that's Fred.
No, that's you.
I mean, Paul. I pointed to the wrong fact.
That's you.
So what are you working on now?
Just like
a few different things.
And I hate you. And I hate you.
One of London that I'm actually working on. A painting of London.
Okay. Do you do paintings of buildings?
I'm actually doing the St. Stephen's Tower, which is where Big Ben is. I'm doing that.
Big Ben, Parliament.
The Big Bang Parliament, yeah.
Why are you doing that? Are you going to do Stonehenge?
I like it.
You should do Stonehenge.
If we get to go there, sure.
Well, you will.
In the Big Bang Club.
You'll skip the game to go there.
Adam in Connecticut is on the line. He wants to explain CrossFit. Go ahead, Adam.
Oh, boy.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Wait a minute. Are you do you own a CrossFit place?
No, I do not, but a real close friend of mine from the military does training at the CrossFit headquarters down there in Canton.
Okay. Well, thank him for his service for us.
Thank you for your service and him.
All right, thanks,
proceed.
CrossFit, what it is, it's a mix of Olympic weightlifting, bodybuilding, cardio, and gymnastics. And what they do is they incorporate a lot of different movements into a single workout of the day called a WOD. And what they and
a what?
Sprint, yeah, exactly, a WOD, WOD.
You don't want to blow your WOD.
And they go and they race based off time, so everything's a sprint. So it's not really going to get you too big, not going to get you too ripped, but it's used for overall fitness speed.
Oh, so Andy's speed push-ups then would be appropriate then. You'd be good at this workout.
Yep, exactly. And then he'll go from speed push-ups to jumping on a rowing machine and then over to doing some squats and then doing muscle-ups and pull-apart and stuff like that.
You want
to
do it, Fred?
That's kind of what I do now.
Except with a computer and much
slower. But it's all about pace. You have to get it finished within a certain amount of time. And it's a lot of different exercises.
Do you honestly believe you get the same kind of workout working out with a computer as you would with other people?
No, but I'm over 50 years old. I mean,
you're
what the hell do you
want? 500 pounds.
You know, it's like... You know, unless you're lifting weights at Gold's Gym,
that
you know,
is not true.
With the cement
for 3 hours every day in the middle of the day,
you're not doing it
there
right.
There are many ways to work out.
No kidding. So shut your mouth.
I don't think with a computer
Listen
is the best way.
Shut your mouth. It's good.
Do you honestly think you're getting as good a workout with a computer as you would with other people?
No way.
Thank you.
Who's the other people?
Thank you. Listen to the caller. Say that again.
Ain't gonna happen.
Thank you.
No way he's getting a better workout with a computer than he is with a coach or a trainer or something else like that.
Well, of course not.
Thank you for being reasonable.
But who,
the show.
Who has a coach and a trainer?
CrossFit. You work people. Out in a group so you get competitive and there's other people around and you're driven to succeed.
Andy does.
Don't you make enough to go get a trainer there, Fred?
What's that?
No.
Adam, have you tried that? Have you tried that insanity video thing? I don't know anybody.
Yes, I have. What that is that's a lot of plyometric-based workouts in a sprint format, and it's all cardio-based. That's 100% pure cardio-type stuff.
Oh, so you're not looking to bulk up if you do that routine. You're looking to slim down?
Exactly. P90X is kind of a mix of both, and those are the two big.
Yeah, I've heard of that P90X. People love that.
Hmm. Everybody who does it sees results. But a lot of that is because the people that do it start out from they were sitting on the couch for 2 years, and now you're going to see results no matter what you do.
All right, Adam, what do you
recommend? You're not giving them credit? You can't give anybody credit.
No, I'm saying.
Not unless you're Jack LaLanne like
he
is.
It's not the miracle workout people think it is. If they did anything.
Johnny Weissmuller over
there. No one's looking for a miracle.
He's Jack Astley.
Thanks for the call, Adam. Yes, people are looking for a miracle. All those suckers who plucked down $200 on a website.
You keep wearing 11-year-old shirts that are five sizes too small for you. Walking around with your watermelon arms. That's fine.
Oh, you let Adam go? I had a question.
Well, Adam can call back next show. This one's over.
I wanted to know what he recommended for,
Which one he recommended the most?
The ultimate lazy slob, like me.
I think
you probably need to lose some weight.
CrossFit.
You should probably start.
No.
I would die.
You should probably start with the insanity thing, it sounds like. I guess they have beginner groups.
And I'm not ever going to do anything when someone else is there. You know that.
Well, you can do the insanity thing at home, probably.
So do Fred's thing. You work out with a computer. No one will ever see you.
There's other people there, idiot. All right.
You told me you could go at midnight if you wanted.
Right. There's other machines there. There can be six people in the room.
At midnight?
If it depends.
How many people work out at midnight?
My point is, it's not one machine, one room. There's six different machines.
Who knows?
There can be other people.
It's not one machine, one room, idiot.
Workout elitist. Workout elitist.
Jackass LaLanne. That's
going to be it for this edition. We'll see you Thursday. More draft talk and more nonsense.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.